and the violence there continues. Activists say 100 people were killed in Syria yesterday alone. CNN's Arwa Damon spent the weekend in Syria with some opposition protesters and now is reporting from Beirut.
These demonstrators, and a lot of them are fairly young, 15 to 30 years old, risk their lives every single time they go out. And there is so much planning that goes into those 10 minutes they have where they chant their lungs out.
UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon pays an official visit to Jordan today to try to help move the peace process forward in the Middle East. A convicted killer pardoned this month by outgoing Mississippi Governor Haley Barbour has been found in Wyoming. Joseph Osment was served with civil papers at a hotel in Laramie, Wyoming. Civil, not criminal, because he's not an escapee. Mississippi Attorney General Jim Hood can't understand why some prisoners were let go.
Some of them probably deserve a pardon if they lived an exemplary life after they were released, but some of them have horrendous records while they've been in prison.
Former Governor Barbour defends his pardons, saying the former prisoners have been rehabilitated. This is CNN Radio.
You have teams in Tucson, Tennessee, and Taipei, and you need to work together. No problem. Welcome to GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix, the easy-to-use, extraordinarily powerful way to meet online. Simply launch or join a meeting with one click from any computer, then share screens and webcams in real time, and review and edit documents together. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button and enter promo code 45. Go to meeting with HD Faces. Try it free today.
Merrillman, one of our vendors, just called.
That's nice, Mr. Fernwell.
We owe him for a job that closed 8 months ago.
Yeah, Susan, the office manager, owes me for lunch last week.
The accounting team is swamped, Merrillman. Call Bob from Account Temps. Bob knows our accounting system inside out and can step right in so we can get caught up without all this overtime.
Maybe Bob can help me collect from Susan.
Be flexible, work smarter with Account Temps, the staffing firm recommended by 9 out of 10 hiring managers. A Robert Half company. Learn more at AccountTemps.com.
Soon we may begin to see a stabilizing in the nation's housing market, and a report scheduled for this morning may help usher it in. That's the cautious hope of many economists ahead of the S&P Case-Shiller Home Price Index, which comes out shortly before Wall Street's opening bell today. The market is looking for a 3.3% home value drop in the 20 large metro areas surveyed, which would be the slowest decrease in almost a year. It turns out already struggling Radio Shack is struggling a lot more than people thought. The company now expects to make only about a third of the profit in the quarter that Wall Street was looking for. The chain says its partnership with Sprint Wireless is the main culprit. Sales weak there. Radio Shack stock lost almost 20% of its value in extended trades. Following a new Eurozone agreement to tighten financial control over budgets, European stocks are rallying about 1% right now. S&P futures are gaining 8 points, NASDAQ futures up 15, Dow futures rising 74. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Here we have a rare treat, the keeper of the forest, as some have coined her. Built to carry heavy loads, long distances, using minimal natural resources. Her coat of iron and steel keeps her safe. You can just feel the motherly instinct she has for her surroundings.
Sometimes the best things for nature come in unexpected forms. CSX trains move 1 ton of freight nearly 500 miles on a single gallon of fuel. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
We all know that email marketing from Constant Contact is a powerful tool for small businesses. But now, Constant Contact is kicking it up a notch, helping you tap into the wonderful world of social media. Your customer now gets your informative email, but with an extra boost, a share button that lets them spread your message to all their friends. So your powerful email is now a super powerful social media email. And super powerful is way better than powerful. Go to ConstantContact.com and sign up for a free 60-day trial today.
My game plan for big game entertaining? Sam's Club.
Member Casey Harrison.
We save on all the snacks, all the drinks, even a sharp 60-inch LED TV. So on game day, the best seats in the house are gonna be in my house.
Not a member? Start your new Sam's Club Plus membership now through February 5th and score extra points with the $20 gift card. Then make saving part of your game plan all year long.
Great prices, great selection, great party. In my book, that's a win-win-win.
Sam's Club. Savings made simple.
You know, it's worse than a sick kid being home with a sick kid. They're whiny, they're miserable, and when you need to take a temperature, forget it. Bedlam. That's why you need the Exergen Temporal Scanner. It's the greatest gadget for taking temperatures. Just one swipe over the forehead and you're done. You get a clear, accurate read with no fuss, and you can even take it while they're sleeping. The medical profession has been using the Exergen Scanner for years. If it's good enough for them, you know it's worth every penny and great value for the money. The Exergen Temporal Scanner, changing the way the world takes temperature. Available at Rite Aid. It's another fine retail.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
As the clock chimes a reminder that it's time to punch in for another shift, those of us who have worked tirelessly to honor our contracts and the promise they represent have also been paying attention to the many promises that have been ignored by the politicians.
Now as we mark the time for change,
it is you and I who will confidently send the message that since it is only us who have upheld their promises, that 2012 marks the time for change. And change begins with First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And good morning, everybody. It is a Tuesday, the 31st day of January, 2012, the last day of the month. The Florida primary today, the result should not surprise you if you believe the poll numbers that are out. Mitt Romney will win. The winner take all, 50 delegates. But I don't, listen, Newt Gingrich isn't going anywhere. I think he's in for the long haul, but we'll get, I'll have time to get into that a little bit later on in the show today. I want to wish all of you a happy morning. We are down a man this morning. Anthony is under the weather and hope that he will be feeling better. Heck, by the time I get home today, but having a tough time this morning, so he is not with us, and he will be missed, no question about that. As we take a look ahead at what we're going to be talking about today, Sarah Dufendock will be joining us from Common Cause to talk about not just the anniversary of Citizens United or campaign finance reform. That would be too simple. What can we do to reverse it? Or maybe the better question is, can we do anything? Are we stuck with it? And we know, especially after we have seen the way the Republicans are spending money in the primaries, that the Citizens United case and these super PACs are more powerful than they've ever been. Even John McCain yesterday said that, and I think we played that audio, that there's a scandal coming. And indeed there is. With that kind of money involved, you can bet on that. Occupy Detroit will occupy First Shift at 7:50, and former congressman and current co-chair of the Blue-Green Alliance, Mark Schauer, will be with us a little after 8 o'clock to talk about some green legislation that is making its way through Congress. Will it become law? That is the question. And, you know, there's been some conversation about how, quote-unquote, profitable green legislation is, or maybe unprofitable is more appropriate. But do we really need to legislate toward a more green economy? That is the big question. And, of course, the stuff that lobbyists are, that's how lobbyists make money. But we'll check in with Mark Schauer. Chris Mihalakis will not be with us today, by the way. So that's that. Let's go ahead and get things going here on this Tuesday morning program.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Our first word today is benefits. Benefits. Yeah, you know, maybe it's friends with benefits. Maybe it's your work benefits. Maybe it's, you know, a lot of different things. But benefits are, you know, basically something that is added to what you already expect. So beyond what you have, what are the benefits? What's the benefits to doing it this way or that way or the other way? If I do this, I get that. That is a benefit, absolutely. So as we take a look at, you know, what we do and how we do it and what we commit to doing and don't commit to doing, you know, often it's the benefits that are involved which help make the difference. You know, maybe for some of us in a more altruistic way, just accomplishing something is benefit enough. For others, they need to have some kind of personal gain. I'm not questioning that, not even criticizing it. It is what it is. It is what it is. But the benefits of what we do, certainly part of the reward is appropriate. I'm not saying it's not. Absolutely not saying it's not. I would like to think one of the benefits listening to this show is, yeah, does it make it a little smarter? Absolutely it does.
Does it empower you to change? Absolutely it does. Well, whatever else you get out of it, I guess that's a personal thing. But anyway, today's first word is benefits, and that'll be that. One of the benefits of doing the show on a daily basis, I get to interact. Actually, not just before, during, and after the show, but everywhere in between with Mr. Jeff Radford. Jeff, welcome back.
Well, good morning, and good to see that you're not under the weather as well.
Yeah, I know. Down a man this morning. Our team of three is down to two. And
how did you get so lucky to escape the bug?
Well, I don't think he. You know, I'm not sure he's got a bug. He said his stomach's bothering him, and he was in quite a bit of pain, Jeff, when I left. So I'm a little concerned as a dad. You know, I don't care how old your kids are; they're still your kids, buddy. And so I'm a little concerned about him. Anthony is not lazy. He has a work ethic. And if he's not, he didn't actually even say, hey, I don't think I can work today at all. He didn't say that at all. And I'm the one that said, you won't be going to work today. It was obvious he hadn't slept all night. It was not a good situation. So anyway, I don't know what's going on, but hopefully by the time I get home, whatever was ailing him will have passed, or at least be marginally better, so that we can move on.
Definitely, but,
you know, I get a little concerned. Again, you know, it's tough. And, you know, again, you just say it any way you want. I understand my son's 21 years old. He's still my son. He's still my kid. I'm going to worry about him. That's that. So, in fact, you almost got a call from me because his stomach was bothering him to the point where he thought maybe he'd like to go to the emergency room. Until I, painted a picture that perhaps wasn't too likable for him. Not that I did that deliberately, but, you know, once I said, well, you know, they're probably going to, going to take tests and then blood and x-rays and this and that. And you may actually, because, you know, what's going on, they might have to even admit you. And he went, okay, I'm not up for that. But you almost got a call saying, hey, I'm taking A in for into the emergency room, but. Indeed, he opted out, so hopefully by the time I get home, that's still not an option. Because, there's nothing worse than the emergency room. You've been to the emergency room, I know that, so you know what that's like. It's never a pleasant experience. I'm sorry, and if there are people in hospital settings and emergency rooms listening to me right now, Jeff, it's not pleasant to go to the emergency room.
Well,
it's just not.
It is in one sense. I mean, it's not because if you have to go there, you're in a state where you don't feel good. But it's pleasant when they fix whatever's wrong with you. When I left, I was pretty happy with what happened in the emergency
room. Oh, you were stoned. That's why you were pretty happy. Let's just be honest about
it.
They gave you enough drugs to kill an elephant, but God bless you, you got through it okay.
Yeah, apparently that's all I needed, which I still don't understand to this day. You know, they showed me the X-rays and. I have all these problems, and yet, the only thing that solved my problems was breaking the pain cycle, as they called it.
Well, and, sometimes that's important. And actually, when you break that pain cycle, I unfortunately know a little bit about this. Do you need to give your body a chance? There's a domino effect to holding on to pain. And so if you can't let go of that pain, then you're going to get exponentially worse, which was what was happening with you. And so once they were able to break that pain cycle, gave your body a chance to relax and recuperate a little bit, which is, if I recall, you passed out at the hospital, did you not? I fell asleep, I mean. I don't want to make it sound like you were all whacked out, but.
Oh, yeah, once they gave me the stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. They knocked me out.
So, anyway, let's just hope that Anthony is resting comfortably, which was an issue before I left. When I left, he was on the couch, was very quiet. I'm not sure he was sleeping, but I didn't want to disturb him because it was one of those things where he was having a real hard time falling asleep. So if he was indeed asleep, I didn't want to wake him up. So that's that. Anyway. Pistons lose again last night, Jeff, and I just don't know what to say. It's not like I'm getting email from people saying, hey man, lighten up on the Pistons, because I'm not. You'd like to say something nice.
No, I completely agree, but you're just not going to see something nice this year. The nicest thing you're going to be able to say about the team is when the trade deadline comes, and hopefully you're going to say, wow, they made a couple of good deals. That's about as good as it's going to get this year, because they're not that good. And I'll tell you what, I haven't seen an entire Pistons game this year. I've seen bits and pieces of some, But I haven't watched an entire NBA. I shouldn't say an NBA game, because this past Sunday was the first NBA game, the entire thing I saw, and that was the Heat and Bulls. But other than that, I haven't seen the Pistons, you know, in an entire game at all.
I haven't watched literally, cumulatively, 2 minutes of basketball this season.
College or NBA or just NBA?
Period.
Wow.
Period.
You're missing some good college basketball.
Yeah, I am, but, you know, it's not really my thing. It's just not my thing, that's all.
Did you watch we already talked about the Pro Bowl, but did you watch the Senior Bowl, any kind of football?
Nope.
They're nope. Done then. There's no sports for you until the Tigers start?
No, I mean, I've got the Super Bowl on Sunday.
Oh, that's right. And the Wings. You're going to watch a little bit of the Wings.
Oh, I do watch the Wings from time to time. I enjoy my Red Wings. But, you know, the Red Wings, again, are more, and that's kind of true for basketball, but Red Wings, for me, are more playoff hockey. Although if the game's on and I'm flipping through channels, I'll certainly watch a Red Wings game, absolutely. But, yeah, it's pretty much over for me until the Tigers start. And, you know, that's just, it's my reality. Read a really interesting article this morning about ticket sales for the Detroit Tigers. More season ticket sales are the demand since the announcement and signing of Prince Fielder have been astronomical. Astronomical. They're selling tickets left and right, and got a little history lesson and a little schooling on what it takes to get 3 million butts in seats during a season. They have to average a little over 37,000 per game, which is a lot of people. And it's tough in the northern climates because April and May are not great for ticket sales.
But they've done it before.
Yes, they have. They have twice in their history. So anyway, let's take a quick break here. We'll come back and talk about a little bit more about that and whatever else is on our minds. 888-552-3595. We've got some audio to get to. We've got lots of stuff. We've got a lot of stuff that I've pulled for today's show, including our First Shift poll question of the day and some more polling data. We'll be back. I'm Tony Trupiano. This is First Shift. Stay with us.
And if I share with you my story, would you share your dollar with me?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Middle class workers like you shouldn't be bearing all the burden. You work too hard for someone to ask you to pay more so that somebody who's making millions or billions of dollars can pay less.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Things are looking great out there on the freeways right now. No reports of any accidents or slowdowns. Just a reminder that the Kent Lake Road ramp to eastbound on 86 is currently closed. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast for the National Weather Service. Get ready for a heat wave. Mostly sunny, a high in the mid-50s today. Tonight, scattered showers, mostly cloudy, a low around 36. And then tomorrow, still mostly sunny, a high only in the mid-40s. Right now, it's fair and 41 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining us now, Hanson Clark. If the governor were to call you today and say, hey, Congressman, what is the number one priority I should be focusing on? What would you tell him?
Putting people back to work in this state. That's the ultimate goal. That's what we need. People are feeling very financially insecure. There are folks who are out of work right now. That's why I flew back to Washington, D.C. before Christmas to make sure that we had some unemployment benefits that were extended.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Senator Gretchen Whitmer, who wrote a masterfully written commentary in the Detroit Free Press yesterday that is getting attention nationally. Why did you decide that it was time to come out and talk about this rampant sexism that's happening in the state legislature right now?
First, let me tell you, I appreciate your assessment of what's going on here. Because, you know, this, like the bullying fight, was not something that involved me directly. But when you see this type of behavior, I think it's incumbent on anyone as a top elected officials, especially me on this issue as the top woman in the legislature, to say this is beyond the pale. Now, I knew when I stood up and called it out that there would be a backlash, but I'm raising two little girls in my household, my daughters. I'm trying to ensure that they're strong, confident, substantive young women in training. And when I tell them this type of behavior would be unacceptable at school, it sure as heck is unacceptable at the highest levels of our government.
First Chip with Tony Tria on 1310 WDTW.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Tripiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Tripiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Tripiano on Twitter.
First word.
First thoughts. First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you. First Shift on 1310 WDTW with Tony Tripiano.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 6 o'clock again. It is Tuesday, the 31st day of January, 2012. And Jeff, maybe it's just me, but I can't believe that January is over as of today. We turn the calendar to February tomorrow, and, you know, February is a short month. Ultimately, that leads us closer, of course, with every passing day to spring. And I don't know if you've noticed, but it's staying lighter, much later these days, well after 6 o'clock, which is always a good sign in my world anyway.
Well, it's raining. There's no snow. We're going to hit 50s here soon. What the heck's going on? That's why it doesn't feel like January's over already. It's because the weather's been crazy.
Yeah. In fact, even when I woke up this morning, you know, I usually go out and start the vehicle a little bit, warm it up a little bit before we leave. I let Vinny out in the morning, and then I start the truck, and then I come back in. You know, I get Vinny, I come back in and kind of hang with him for a little while. Anyway, I went out this morning, and I rarely stop to put a coat on, even when it's real cold out, because I'm really just running out. I'm running out and then running back in, so it's not that big a deal. It was kind of warm this morning, so it was in the upper 30s. In fact, if I were to, and I'll do it right now, yeah, it's already 42 degrees out there. So it's kind of, the weather is kind of crazy, Jeff, and we're supposed to get, I don't know if we're supposed to get, are we supposed to get rain today? I know it's supposed to be 47 today. But I'm not sure if we're supposed to get rain. Do you know that?
No, I'm not sure either.
Man, let me see if I can. Oh, I'm not. Whatever. Doesn't matter. Because it doesn't matter. But, yeah, it's crazy. We got that dusting. Well, for me, it was just a dusting of snow on Sunday. For some people, it was a lot more. But it wasn't much more than that for us. I didn't bother shoveling it. It wasn't unnecessary. It'll be gone by noon today. No question. So. All right, 888-552-3595. Let's go to the phones and welcome Tom in Detroit to the show. Tom, as always, a pleasure to have you on the show. Good morning to you, sir.
And good morning to you and the crowd. A little levity, you know, a little light stuff this morning. I know you said your son's under the weather. Is he under the weather or is the weather on top of him? and also this, I don't know why, you know, Mitt Romney would want to come on television and make a public display of himself trying to sing, you know, after President Obama did such a great job imitating Al Green. Ray Charles killed America the Beautiful. And, I mean, you know, Romney is no, if he was on, what was it, American Idol, I think he would have not gotten any kind of nod.
Well, so, you know, I mean, did you hear President Obama singing at the Apollo Theater?
Oh yeah,
it was beautiful, man.
Yeah, I mean the guy's got
he's got chops, Tom. The president has some chops.
Exactly. Exactly, exactly.
And then it was funny because after he did that, you know, he said, you know, he must have made a bet with his staff. They didn't think he would actually do it.
Okay.
And he turned to his staff because somebody was off stage. He turned to him. He said, "You didn't think I'd do it, did you? I told you I'd do it."
Exactly, exactly. But no, I mean, but you know, Romney. I mean, you know, let's go ahead and get real. Don't quit your day job. and that kind of thing.
Fair enough, Tom. Fair enough. Well, you're right. A little levity never hurts anything. Thanks for the call this morning. I do appreciate it a great deal. Again, if you'd like to join us, 888-552-3595. I know this. If it were a singing competition, President Obama would win over Mitt Romney, that's for sure. Now, I don't know about Newt Gingrich, but I do know that he would win over Mitt Romney. In fact, Jeff just sent me, before we go to our next caller, Jeff just sent me an article that the composer of Eye of the Tiger is suing the Gingrich campaign for using that. And Jeff, this is like the third story I've seen this campaign where a candidate is using a song and being either asked to stop using it or being sued for using it without permission.
You're right. Now, I only thought about two at first, but you're right. Three, at least three, because Bachman with American Girl, right?
Right.
And Maroon 5, I can't remember who was using that, and then now Eye of the Tiger. It's like, you know, they have to watch what they use, and they don't ask permission. It's crazy.
Well, that's just it. They don't ask permission, and you would think that they would know better.
Well, they're all about protecting, you know, the rights of intellectual property.
Yeah, right. You just actually said the rights and intellectual in the same sentence, and you were referring to Republicans. You're so funny. Oh, Jeff, you just slay me, I tell you. 888-552-3595. Theo joins us this morning. Blessings to you, Theo. How you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. Happy Tuesday.
Thank you. Happy Tuesday to you. What's on your mind?
Well, I have a concern for the Occupy, Wall Street Occupy, L.A., Detroit groups, the movement that is going on. And what was reported yesterday, I think, was a setup. You know, it's because of the fact that it is a movement, it would not be that difficult to have infiltrators to go in among them and to create the kind of disobedience so that the law enforcement officers would come in. And
yeah. Theo, let me just stop you for a second, sweetheart.
Okay.
This was not a setup.
Okay.
If it was, this would be major news today. We'd be talking about it. I'd be defending it. Unfortunately, I can't defend the actions of the Occupy Oakland group, and that's what you're talking about in the Oakland group. Although I'm certainly a staunch supporter of the First Amendment, and burning the flag is protected under the First Amendment, go ahead and do it. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with getting as loud as you want to get. I'm fine with getting in people's faces. I'm fine with standing up for what you believe in. What I'm not fine with is violence and trying to force your agenda. There's a way to do things, and they're not doing it properly. Let me just quickly share with you, Theo, because I think that we should have this discussion. The Occupy Detroit people reached out to me yesterday.
Okay.
And as you know, I do a segment on Occupy Detroit every single day at 7:50.
Right.
They gave me the option of honorably walking away from that. If I felt uncomfortable by what happened in Oakland, they wanted to give me the option to say, I respect what you're doing, but as a movement, I would, of course, never abandon that group.
Mm.
They're a wonderful group of people here in Detroit. They are beautiful people. Now, that's not to say that there aren't those in the Occupy Detroit movement that don't want to see violence, because some people believe that that's what we, Theo, need to do to effect change. I'm not buying it.
No, I don't agree with that either.
I don't either.
Mm-hmm.
So, as of now, And I have no reason, and I said this on the show yesterday, but I'll be happy to say it again, I'm with them 100% here in Detroit. But if I do not agree with something that either happens here or in another part of the country, I have no problem saying it, because, you know what, these are my First Amendment rights too, and I'll express myself any way I see fit.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But no, this was not a setup. This was not infiltrators. This was bad decision-making. You know, that was made by absolutely, and I think people got caught up in it, Theo, and a little too much, and unfortunately, it makes the movement look bad. But what we're doing here in Detroit is going to stay strong and beautiful, And like you, strong and beautiful, Theo. So thank you so much for your call this morning. I appreciate it.
All right.
All righty. Quick break here. Feel free to join us. And the great call. I'm really glad that Theo that brought that up because it's important that we have that discussion. 888-552-3595. We got some audio to get to on the other side. Stay with us, please. Also, I got a somebody sent me this yesterday. It's called A Day in the Life of Joe Republican. I'm going to read that before we're done this hour. Stay with us.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Last tunnel traffic update brought to you by McDonald's. Things are looking great on the freeways right now. It's nice and warm. The roads are looking pretty good. Nothing really going to slow you down. Just a reminder that 12-mile road in both directions, right at I-75, it's got the right lane closed. Expect some delays around there a little bit later on this morning. I'm Russ with traffic.
Stop by McDonald's today to enjoy the new, crispy, juicy goodness of the Poppable Chicken McBites. Made with tender, all-white meat, marinated and coated with home-style seasoning to satisfy your appetite. It won't last long, so try our new Chicken McBites today. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, mostly sunny, a high near 55. Tonight, scattered showers, mostly cloudy, a low around 36. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny, a high near 44. Right now, it's fair and 41 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
To the relief of most Texans, our prodigal governor hath returned. Most presidential pretenders envision a come-from-behind campaign ending in glory. But Rick Perry ran a vainglorious campaign that went in the other direction, ending in oops. What happened to poor Perry was, well, Perry. His brain bone simply does not connect to his tongue muscle, so he fumbled, bumbled, and stumbled through the Republican debates, showing the entire nation that he was not presidential sapling, much less timber. Rick was richly financed by corporate interests, burning through more than $21 million on his political joyride. But he finished a sputtering fifth in Iowa and New Hampshire and was about to be lapped by other in South Carolina before mercifully ending his sad run. Worse, polls showed that he had fallen to third place in his home state. So he's back, but not to any cheers. The general feeling here is that he embarrassed himself and made Texans look like a bunch of ignorant hillbillies. In a new poll, 45% of Texans say he soiled the state's national image, and 56% don't even want him to run for governor again. Also, Texans are a bit chapped about Perry's prodigality with our money. While he was running around denouncing government spending and berating people who live on government payrolls, Rick kept drawing his $150,000 a year state paycheck, even though he wasn't doing state work. He was also double-dipping, using a special loophole to take $92,000 a year in state retirement pay, while also collecting his gubernatorial salary. Then there's some $2.6 million billed to us to cover the cost of the state security detail that traipsed along with him on the campaign trail. This is Jim Hightower saying, Rick Perry will always be branded nationally as the Oops Guy. But here in Texas, he's called Rick Ouch Perry.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
John Zerlag, the city manager of Troy, joins us now.
Oftentimes, it's important to just, you know, not when someone slams you, not to actually make a slam back. Because I really believe that hostility is a sign of weakness. But essentially, to just set the record straight. It's important for the voting public and the businesses to know what the facts are of the matter. So if someone builds a false argument and then draws a conclusion, itself becomes faulty because the underpinning rationale is faulty.
First Shift with Tony Triano on 1310 WDTW. You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift
with Tony Triano.
Welcome back indeed. It is 35 minutes after 6 o'clock. Thanks for punching in this morning. Nice to know people are up and about early today. Got to tell you, you know, we have plans in the upcoming year to start doing some remotes, even this early morning, stuff. Where? Well, stay tuned. Stay tuned. But we're certainly working in that direction. Oh, where to begin? Jeff, where to begin? Where should we start this morning? Alan West, you think, or Reince Priebus? Oh, my, oh, my. Decisions.
It doesn't even really matter. You got to talk about both of them because they're big news.
Well, you're right. Let's start with Congressman Alan West from Florida. He has made news in the past on this very show. In fact, we still occasionally run a promo with him in it when he talked about Demi Moore being waterboarded in the movie G.I. Jane. Oh, anyway, he also is famous for, threatening violence against Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the chairwoman of the Democratic National Committee and his colleague in the House of Representatives. So he is not foreign to controversy. He was speaking at a Lincoln Day dinner in Florida and had the following to say.
This is a battlefield that we must stand upon. And we need to let President Obama, Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi, and my dear friend, Chairman of the Democrat National Committee, we need to let them know that Florida ain't on the table. Take your message of equality of achievement, take your message of economic dependency, take your message of enslaving the entrepreneurial will and spirit of the American people somewhere else. You can take it to Europe, you can take it to the bottom of the sea, you can take it to the North Pole, but get the hell out of the United States of America.
All right, so the controversy, obviously, I've got, you know, I feel he went overboard in doing that. I guess I'm gonna marry the two things. What happened with West and what happened with Reince Priebus in just a moment. I obviously have problems with a United States congressman being so disrespectful to the president and his colleagues by telling them to get the hell out of the U.S. Now there was a debate, an ongoing debate, that he was saying, you know, that they don't need to get the hell out of the U.S., that the message needs to get the hell. Well, you know what? This isn't even splitting hairs. It's clear he is asking the president, the speaker, I'm sorry, the former speaker, the majority leader in the Senate and many others to basically go to hell and to leave the United States of America. Do you have a problem with that? I do. Interestingly, back in December, and you wanted to listen to this carefully because Jeff and I actually had to listen to it twice to make sure that what we were hearing was real. But this is what Alan West had to say just a little over a month ago.
And you have to be able to call it as you see it. And I'm very concerned about this very divisive rhetoric that the president is using when he continues to talk about equality and fairness and this thing that I think that is really contrary to the principles that I mentioned as far as life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, because the government cannot guarantee happiness. And if we believe that there are people in Washington, D.C. that are going to be the arbiters and be the ones who are trying to create some type of fairness, we remember FDR talking about a chicken in every pot. I recalled all the rhetoric of economic and social justice. Then we get away from having the right type of monetary policy, fiscal policy, tax and regulatory policy that can turn this dismal economic situation around in our country.
All right. Now, Jeff, is it just me, or did he just say the divisive language that the president is espousing when he talks about fairness and something else? Was it just me, or did he say that we don't need to talk about fairness and economic justice?
Yep. It's divisive in the country when you want fairness and equality among the people. That's divisive language.
According to Alan West, who is a congressman.
But what he had to say just yesterday or 2 days ago, that's not as divisive.
Okay. Now, to take it one step further, keep in mind who he is, a United States congressman. Reince Priebus is the chairman of the Republican National Committee. It is his basic job to raise money for the party and to be their chief spokesperson, amongst other duties, but that's basically what he does. He was giving an interview, and this is what he had to say about President Barack Obama.
And in the end, in a few months, this is all going to be ancient history, and we're going to talk about our own little Captain Scatino, which is President Obama, who's abandoning the ship here in the United States and is more interested in campaigning than doing his job as president.
What did you just say? What did you call President Obama?
I called him Captain Scatino, you know, the captain that fled the ship in Italy. That's our own president who's fleeing the American people and not doing his job and running around the country and campaigning. You made me think of it with the ships behind you, Bob.
All right. Now, he's talking to Bob Schiffer, number one. Number two, he's laughing as if somehow that tragedy is funny, making that you know, juxtaposing these things together is somehow entertaining, funny. All right, so, yeah, it's offensive. There's no question that's very offensive. Reince Priebus, by the way, every time he opens his mouth, his thing is that, you know, President Obama is always campaigning. That's the moniker. He's always holding on to that line, that the president's always in campaign mode. All right, so that's his thing, and that's what he's going to hold on to. All right, that's fine, no big deal. I can get over that because we all know that's not true. But if that's what you need to hold on to, then go ahead. I mean, listen, the Democrats do it to the Republicans, so it's not like I'm going to have a problem with it. I don't have a problem with it. Go ahead and say it. It's just not true. You know, and hardcore Republicans are going to believe what Republicans say, and hardcore Democrats are going to believe what Democrats say. I get that. Here's the problem. You are comparing the President of the United States to a ship captain who is going to be brought up on legal charges, is under house arrest. And some of those charges may include murder. And you're basically saying the President of the United States is a coward and is walking away, shirking his responsibilities, if you are, again, juxtaposing what happened in Italy to what's happening in the United States, right? Well, this has gotten the notice of a lot of people, including Republicans. Michael Steele, who is the former chair of the Republican National Committee, the predecessor to Reince Priebus, was on MSNBC yesterday and had this to say about what the current chairman said.
I think it's an unfortunate analogy. I mean, people died in that situation.
Yeah,
so I think it's again, you know, cute by nowhere. And I think the reality of it is the RNC, the party, has got to come to the country with a message. They haven't done that. They dropped the ball.
And that's right. There is no message. All right, there's no message there. Brad Woodhouse, who is the Democratic National Committee's spokesperson, was on with Martin Bashir on MSNBC yesterday. And again, I just said, you know, it's not like Democrats don't do this as well, but this is what Brad had to say. Go ahead and play that, Jeff.
Republicans will be saying something like, well, didn't Democrats attack George Bush in exactly the same way? What's your response to that?
Well, look, I don't remember anything that equates to what that from the official Democratic Party. I mean, of course, there are interest groups and people will have their say, but I don't remember anything coming from the Democratic Party about George W. Bush being equated to a terrorist, or George W. Bush being equated to somebody who's been accused of manslaughter. I don't remember anybody questioning, you know, some of the things about George W. Bush that been questioned about the president. I don't remember an opposing governor wagging his or her finger in President George W. Bush's face. I mean, the truth is that the Republican Party starts from a core of extreme positions, and it seems that that leads to extreme rhetoric when things don't seem to be working out for them with the voter.
And that really is the problem when you come from the extreme and then you try to, I don't know, widen your net to include as many people as possible, it just gets worse at some point, because that's what's happening here. Now, listen, I've been on the air a long time. I was very critical of President Bush, but I never called him a terrorist, never called him a murderer, never accused him of anything that I didn't feel I could justify with facts. Not so true when the door swings the other way. And this is problematic for a variety of reasons, and it's going to turn people off, not to the process. It's going to turn people off to their party. So, you know, you're saying to me, well, Tony, if Republicans are going to get turned off by Republicans talking this way, let them do it. No. I don't want them to do it. I think that there are better ways for us to talk about and demonstrate our differences, don't you? You've got a United States congressman and the chairman of a major political party irresponsibly. And you can't refute the irresponsibility of what they've done. Irresponsibly delivering a message that is harmful, that is extremely harmful, not just to the president, not just to the party, but to the country. That's my problem. How do you justify? If you're a conservative, how do you justify what these two men have said? Beyond that, it's just it's a First Amendment right, and they have a right to say it. There is a responsibility involved here. What is the responsibility quotient, or don't they need to meet it? That's the question. 888-552-3595. Tony Trupiano with you. A quick break here. We'll come back, and I can't believe it. I'm going to say this. We're going to wrap up this hour on the other side. It's gone by fast. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Hey, Tony. You know, I'm not a real liberal guy. I'm not a real union guy. We don't agree on a whole lot, but I really enjoyed your show. You become a new stop in the morning.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. Recently on First Shift.
Let's welcome Will in Milford to the show. Will, thanks for punching in this morning. What's on your mind?
Hey, Tony, how you doing, man? I just wanted to let everybody know about your Facebook page and how great it is. I mean, you keep me abreast on stuff on the weekends and everything, and it's just a valuable page. If people haven't put a like on it yet, they need to, because there's a lot of good information. Keep everybody abreast.
First Shift with Tony Trujillo
on 1310 WDTW.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310
WDTW.
Sorry, I'm back. You know, Jeff, sometimes I forget I'm on the air, so I'm like having conversations, and then you forget. Anyway, we're back. Anyway, 888-552-3595 if you care to join us. I've got something I'm going to read to you folks a little bit. My buddy Dave Dennis with Teamsters Local 1038 sent it to me yesterday. It's a great reminder. Some of you are going to roll your eyes and groan. Others of you will appreciate it. A lot of you will have heard this before, but I'll get to that in just a minute. Let's go to the phones, though, and welcome Don and Lake Orion to the show. Don, welcome to First Shift. What's on your mind this morning?
First off, no, I don't believe, I really do agree with you when it comes to the rhetoric. But second, your buddy Ed Schultz was going after Dick Cheney and President Bush and calling them terrorists and saying that they needed to go up before the Hague for war crimes. So, I mean, it is a two-way street.
It isn't, Don, there's no question it's a two-way street, but, you know, let's for a moment break down what I feel is the difference there. There is plenty of evidence to suggest that we were lied into the war in Iraq. And when you make a decision that affects millions of lives and has caused millions of deaths,
which Democrats voted for on the floor of the House and Senate.
I get that. But why did they? But
that.
Don, what did they vote for? That's the real question. What did they vote for?
They voted for the use of force.
Why did they vote for that? Why did they vote for that?
Two reasons. One was they were in violation of all of those UN sanctions, and they weren't abiding by them. That was one. And two, yes, weapons of mass destruction that they didn't find, which William Jefferson Clinton said were there as well.
All right. And this is where you and I are going to have a problem. Because
William Jefferson Clinton did.
I don't care. I don't care. I don't care who said what.
You don't care about your best friend, William Jefferson Clinton.
He's not my best friend, Don. Don, he's. All right, listen, this doesn't work when you talk over me. All right, so let me just make this simple. Bill Clinton is not my best friend. I speak for myself. Have I defended President Clinton? Absolutely. He's not my best friend, so easy on that rhetoric, number one. Number two, I was on the air during this whole debacle. I was one of those people clamoring, screaming, yelling for clarity. We needed more proof. And you don't attack a country based on, you know, not adhering to rules and regulations. You don't. There was a team on the ground in Iraq that was looking for weapons of mass destruction that was pulled out of that country so that we could attack the country, Don. We were lied into that war, my friend. We were lied into that war. So when Ed Schultz calls for an investigation into whether or not we were illegally pulled into a war that has killed millions of people, yeah, I think that's justifiable. There's a big difference between that and what Alan West and what Reince Priebus are doing now. There's a difference between hate speech and truth speak. That's all I got to say, Don. So thanks for the call. Obviously, we stunned him, Jeff. I don't know what the hell that was all about. Whew. All right.
Isn't there a difference as well between an official response out of the Republican National Committee and then Ed Schultz, who's a guy on the radio who is paid to say kind of shocking things?
Well, first of all, if there's not, good for Ed. I hope he's getting compensated properly. Right? I mean, you know.
Oh, exactly.
I don't know that Ed's is any more a spokesperson for the Democratic National Committee than I am. Maybe he is, and I don't know it. But I don't think so. And Ed has a right to. Listen, people have a right to their opinion. But I like opinions to be backed up with facts. When we talk about Reince Priebus and we talk about Alan West, what they are saying, none of it is based in fact. It is based on opinion. It is based on vitriol. It is based on hate speak, purely for hate speak. Ellen West loves, he's a media whore, man. The dude loves the media attention that he gets. He loves it. Reince Priebus is paid to get media attention. He's just a fool. The man is an absolute, utter fool. I base that on the facts. And the facts tell me that when you compare a disaster that involved the unfortunate deaths of people to the actions of the President of the United States, there should be repercussions for that. And then to laugh it off, which is what he was doing during that interview, is just beyond disrespectful. Now, the congressman, there's no excuse. No excuse for what the congressman is doing. He represents the most extreme right Tea Party philosophy, ideology, of the Republican Party. He is in the most extreme minority of that group. That is clear. Do your homework and you'll know that, again, my criticism is based on fact. This isn't hate speak, is it? No, because I'm basing my opinions on facts. The facts are that Alan West is an extreme right-wing Tea Party Republican who has one simple goal: to destroy anything that doesn't look like what he wants it to look like. Now, again, I will defend his right to say what he wants to say based on First Amendment protection. I would ask that he do it responsibly. You know, the truth is, and Jeff and I were watching something this morning, and they were going on and on and on. They gave this long list of black people to the left that, you know, say things that are outrageous. First of all, they're not associated with the Democratic Party. They're not elected representatives, not a one of them. Some of them I would have problems with, period. But basically what this group of white people were saying was, listen, there are all these angry black people. Shouldn't conservatives at least get one? And am I misrepresenting what we were listening to, or am I representing that properly, Jeff?
No, yeah, that's what Fox News was saying, that they deserve to have a guy who can say crazy things as long as...
A black guy.
Right.
A black guy. Not just a guy, a black guy. You know, give us one. You know, give the black people one crazy right-winger, you know, and let him get away with whatever he wants to get away with. Doesn't work that way. Who? All right, I didn't get a chance to read this. I will get to this before the show's up today. The day in the life of Joe Republican. I will definitely get to this today. So we just, the phone got to us. That's all. Very quick break here for the top of the hour. Traffic and weather, of course, CNN with headline news. In the next hour, we're going to discuss Citizens United. We'll also have Occupy Detroit occupy first shift, as we do on a daily basis. Let's take the break. This is 1310 WDTW.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Things are looking just fine on the roadways right now. No reports of any accidents or slowdowns for the moment. Of course, that will likely change over the next 15 to 20 minutes. But for now, enjoy it. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, mostly sunny, a high near 55. Tonight, scattered showers, mostly cloudy otherwise, a low around 36. And then tomorrow, sunny once again, high in the mid-40s. Right now, it's fair and 41 degrees at the Detroit City Airport. More on First Shift coming up after the top of the hour.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9, right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. CNN News is next.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. Top story this hour is like a prize fight. Romney and Gingrich throwing verbal punches in Florida leading up to today's primary. Newt Gingrich says Mitt Romney's being dishonest.
What a pathetic situation to be running for the president of the United States with nothing positive to say for yourself and nothing available in a big idea, a big vision, a big future, and all you got to do is try to tear your opponents down so they get to be smaller than you are. And that's the Romney model.
50 delegates are up for grabs, and the Florida winner takes them all. Some voters, like David Arata, think Romney and Gingrich have gone too far with the negative campaigning.
Both of them are trying to do one thing, or Republicans, who is going to be able to beat Obama? But in the meantime, they're just beating each other, beating the GOP down to the ground.
A convicted killer pardoned this month by outgoing Mississippi Governor Haley Barbour has been found in Wyoming. Mississippi Attorney General Jim Hood says the men Barbour pardoned seem to have some disturbing things in common.
If you look at the rest of the list of those who were pardoned, it does come from influential families, those that contributed to the Republican Party and to Haley Barbour in particular.
Russia's deputy foreign minister is quoted as saying the Western proposed draft resolution in the UN is not helping reach a compromise in the Syrian conflict. And he says if it passes, it'll lead to a Syrian civil war. The federal government's developing a national plan to fight Alzheimer's disease. It has a goal of significantly changing the course of the disease by 2025. Harry Johns, president and CEO of the Alzheimer's Association, says this is not a political issue.
Alzheimer's is not partisan. No matter what your party affiliation is, Alzheimer's will affect you in a significant way over the course of the coming year.
Hundreds of militants overran military checkpoints in northwest Pakistan today. Military and government officials say at least 8 soldiers were killed, 10 were wounded. Those officials say more than 24 militants were killed in the fighting that lasted several hours. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Every second, someone turns to OnStar for help.
OnStar Emergency, this is Judy.
Hi, I just had an accident.
Are you injured?
I think I'm okay. I'm just scared. I'm pregnant. I'm 8 months.
Okay, I have you on Kel Lane and Mel. I'm going to get the 911 centers on the line.
911.
My name is Judy with OnStar. Going to need police and medical. My subscriber's been involved in an accident.
I'll get help out to you.
I should call my husband. I can't find my cell phone.
You want me to call him for you?
Will you please?
Now you can add this kind of protection to your car with new OnStar FMV.
Hello, is this Eddie?
Yeah.
It's Judy with OnStar. I'm going to bring you on to speak with your wife.
I just had an accident. It was a bad hit.
Are you okay?
I'm just scared.
Baby, I'm on my way.
OnStar is built into most new Chevy, Buick, GMC, and Cadillac models. And now, you can even add it to your car with new OnStar FMV. Visit OnStar.com for FMV retailers, availability, system limitations, and details.
Already struggling in the face of rival Best Buy and online merchants, Radio Shack says its pain is even worse than predicted. The Shack blames intense competition, but more so, it blames its partnership with Sprint Wireless for the fact its earnings are likely to be only about a third of analyst forecasts. Shaq stock fell almost 20% in late trades. Industry watchers point out that Sprint is getting stricter now about the credit scores people need to apply for its wireless plans. Following a new Eurozone agreement to tighten financial control over budgets, European stock indexes are rallying about 1%. S&P futures are gaining 7 points, NASDAQ futures up 14. Coming up this morning, several important readings on the economy. The S&P Case-Shiller Index of Home Values before Wall Street's opening bell. Economists expect a slower rate of home price decline, but still a decline. After the opening bell, reports on Chicago regional manufacturing for January and the Conference Board's January measure of consumer confidence. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Here we have a rare treat. The keeper of the forest, as some have coined her. Built to carry heavy loads, long distances, using minimal natural resources. Her coat of iron and steel keeps her safe. You can just feel the motherly instinct she has for her surroundings.
Sometimes the best things for nature come in unexpected forms. CSX trains move 1 ton of freight nearly 500 miles on a single gallon of fuel. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
We all know that email marketing from Constant Contact is a powerful tool for small businesses. But now, Constant Contact is kicking it up a notch, helping you tap into the wonderful world of social media. Your customer now gets your informative email, but with an extra boost, a share button that lets them spread your message to all their friends. So your powerful email is now a super powerful social media email. And super powerful is way better than powerful. Go to ConstantContact.com and sign up for a free 60-day trial today.
You have
have teams in Tucson, Tennessee, and Taipei, and you need to work together. No problem. Welcome to GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix, the easy-to-use, extraordinarily powerful way to meet online. Simply launch or join a meeting with one click from any computer, then share screens and webcams in real time, and review and edit documents together. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and enter promo code 45. GoToMeeting with HD Faces. Try it free today.
Neuroman, one of our vendors, just called.
That's nice, Mr. Fernwell.
We owe him for a job that closed 8 months ago.
Yeah, Susan, the office manager, owes me for lunch last week.
The accounting team is swamped, Neuroman. Call Bob from Account Temps. Bob knows our accounting system inside out and can step right in so we can get caught up without all this overtime.
Maybe Bob can help me collect from Susan.
Be flexible, work smarter with Account Temps, the staffing firm recommended by 9 out of 10 hiring managers. A Robert Half company. Learn more at AccountTemps.com.
As you grab your time card and get ready to punch in, and as you dedicate another day to honoring your contract and your commitment to quality, maybe it's time to reinforce to your boss and your elected representatives that they owe you for continuing to make their lives easier, and that it is the work that you do that rewards them for the work that they do, that it is because of you that progress is made, that your sacrifices and your willingness to change help them grow. And now it's time to honor what you have done. And what you have done cannot be ignored any longer. You will now raise your voice. Your voice is now. First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Absolutely. Good morning. And I really like that show open because it just sets the table so beautifully for what we're going to do in this and every hour of the show. Of course, we have different opens for different hours. But, you know, I will tell you that this idea that democracy is something that we own. And I don't know that we own it as much as I think that we wear it. Unfortunately, it's been co-opted by the wealthy. And I don't want to be partisan for this reason. It would be wrong. It would just be wrong. I would be lying if I told you that what we're going to talk about as we begin this hour of the show is staunchly a Republican idea. Because the Democrats are participating as vehemently as they publicly oppose what's happened with Citizens United. They are participating. Some would say, do they have a choice? And the answer would be, well, probably not. Probably not. But, you know, taking the high road is never an easy thing to do. We're going to get into all of this in just a moment. I want to remind you, we're going to have some time for open lines in this hour. We also have Occupy Detroit in with us at 7:50, so we have that to look forward to a little bit later on. Former congressman and co-chair of the Blue-Green Alliance will be with us, Mark Schauer. So we've got a lot of great stuff to get to yet in the day. Some good information for you. The phone number, if you care to join us, 888-552-3595. The email address, if you'd like to connect with us that way, tony@thetonyshow.org. Don't forget that the, tony@thetonyshow.org. And certainly, last but not least, on Twitter, @TonyTrupiano. Joining me now is Sarah Doofendock. Sarah is Vice President of Legislative Affairs at Common Cause. As the organization's chief lobbyist, she coordinates their presence on Capitol Hill, working with Common Cause program directors and state directors as well, members of the U.S. House and Senate, and their staffs to enact reform legislation and advance their nonpartisan, nonprofit mission of strengthen public participation and faith in our institutions. God, doesn't that sound amazing? I mean, really, doesn't that sound amazing? Well, they've got a project going on called Common Cause's Amend 2012 campaign. You're going to find that online, and we'll also get it on the Facebook page at amend2012.org. And Sarah Doofendock joins us now. Sarah, thanks for being with us this morning.
Oh, thank you so much. It's my pleasure.
I love democracy. I love politics. I mean, it's why I do what I do. It's not, you know, listen, you don't get up as early as I get up every day and talk about some serious stuff and give people an opportunity to exchange ideas if you don't, you have a pure love for what we do. And you would obviously have a love for the process as well, or you wouldn't do what you do.
No, that's absolutely right. And before I came to Common Cause, I worked for a Michigan congressman, David Bonnier, for a very long time in the House of Representatives. So I have seen this from both sides. I do have just an abiding love and respect for our democratic institutions. which is what makes me so sad in that they're really under attack.
You know, I sent you a very brief note in a response to an email yesterday, and I don't know if you saw it, but I talked about, you know, the money that's being spent in, during the primary campaign right now, and we're seeing it, although the deflection away from the Democrats is easy right now because Democrats don't have primaries. The president's the president. He's our guy. But we take a look at what's happening currently in Florida, what's happened at this point in Iowa. And in fact, Newt Gingrich wouldn't even be part of the lexicon right now if Citizens United hadn't have gone through that huge, huge infusion of cash that his campaign has gotten through the super PACs, whether it's direct or indirect, it matters not, Sarah. It's clear to me that he wouldn't even be a part of the discussion right now without the Citizens United case. You don't have to agree with me. That's certainly the way I see it. But certainly what we can agree on is that these the GOP primaries have laser-focused us on money, because right now it's all about money.
Yep, it is all about money. And the truth is, it's been all about money for a really, really long time, even before Citizens United. But the Citizens United case that allows now corporations to spend their treasury money, to spend their profits on influencing our elections, on running campaigns, that's what's different. Before, we have a long tradition, a 100-year tradition, of the United States Congress and states being able to regulate the spending and raising of money in political campaigns. The Supreme Court stripped that away. They said you don't have the right because money is speech. They decided that money is speech and corporations are people. So if money is speech and we have free speech in America, the corporations are people, corporations can spend unlimited money of their corporate profits in secret to influence our campaigns. We don't even know who they are or what they're doing. If you can just imagine how many companies there are in America and what the bazillions of dollars they have that can now be unleashed on deciding who is going to represent us in Congress. And once they get in, do you think they're going to vote for the public welfare, or do you think they're going to vote for the corporate welfare?
Well, then I think that's a question that sadly answers itself. And so when we take a look at, and I go back to, and I clearly remember the day that the Citizens United decision came down. There were two very distinct groups, those that were not just upset, outraged, and those that were celebrating. And there's been nothing but controversy since then. And I will say that as much, and again, and for not just full disclosure, but for obvious reasons, because the Republicans are the focus right now, again, mostly because they've got a primary. Democrats are, they can complain about it all they want, Sarah, and you and I both know that they're participating as much as the Republicans are because they can.
Well, yeah, and in some ways, I mean, everybody has to. It's the campaign finance system that we have takes good people and makes it really hard to be good. I mean, the members of Congress have to raise millions and millions and millions of dollars to run for reelection. You don't go to poor people to raise money. You go to rich people to raise money. And then, you know, once somebody gives you big campaign contributions, certainly the American people think that your allegiance then goes to their donors and not to the people that they're representing. And I think we can see that in the policies that the Congress has been adopting that so favor the wealthy as opposed to the poor. I mean, these are who are putting members of Congress in Congress. But, you know, again, I worked in the House of Representatives, and I will tell you, most members of Congress want to do the right thing. It's this system that makes it so hard to represent your constituency and not your donors. And so it's the system we have to change.
Well, there's no question. So that leads me to the Amend 2012 campaign. Let's start it here, and then we'll talk more about it after the break.
Okay. So you want me to tell you about it?
Yeah, please.
Yeah. So first of all, go to our website. It's amend2012.org. And what we're doing here is trying to capture the frustration and the anger that people are expressing at this campaign system and money that's just washing over our elections. and to try to overturn the Citizens United Supreme Court case. Actually, reverse it, I guess, is a better word. There's, you know, once the Supreme Court decides, there's no amendment. You can't appeal to anybody else. So now it's up to all of us to tell the Supreme Court that they were wrong. And to do that, we have to amend the Constitution. And we don't do that lightly, and it's hard to amend the Constitution as it should be. But this is one of those extraordinary cases where if we don't overturn this or reverse this, we're going to wind up with a Congress and a government that is owned by corporations. So what we want people to do is to express to your members of Congress, to your senators and to your representatives and to your state senators and your state representatives, that you want this decision overturned. You want this decision reversed, and if we have to amend the Constitution, you want their support in doing that. And it's basic grassroots organization like anything else. If you can just, after you're done with this show, pick up the phone, call your state legislators and your federal legislators and tell them you want them to support a constitutional amendment. After that, we are trying to organize in all 50 states to have, some states will have what we call a voter initiative, which is voters signing enough petitions, getting enough signatures to put on the ballot in November, an instruction to your Congress, to the Congress, and, well, to the Congress, to support and to enact a constitutional amendment. Another way we're going to go about it is to lobby state legislators to have the legislatures put it on the ballot. In some places, local governments can put a ballot initiative on the ballot. And we've had a lot of success in localities and in some states doing this. But really, any way you can think of to let your members of Congress and your state legislator know that you are not going to take this Citizens United case, that we are not going to be owned by corporations.
Absolutely. Sarah, hold that thought. This is really intriguing. This is really, really intriguing. So when we come back, we're going to talk about this further. If you go to the Facebook page, you are going to find that we have a link up to the amend2012.org website. So go ahead and check it out there, especially for those of you that are driving or getting ready for work. In the meantime, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. I got a lot on my mind. I love this topic, and this is, I think, something we can all get involved in. This is First Shift. We'll be back.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiani.
Over the last decade, we have spent $1 trillion on war at a time of rising debt and hard economic times. Now, we must invest in America's greatest resource, our people.
A 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We've got an accident up there, 696 westbound at 75. It's on the right shoulder. It's causing some delays back to Dequindre. Also not ever westbound before Little Mac. We have an accident there on the left shoulder. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City weather.
A forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, mostly sunny, a high in the mid-50s. Tonight, scattered showers, mostly cloudy. A low around 36. And then on Wednesday, mostly sunny, high in the mid-40s. Right now it's fair and 41 degrees at Detroit City Airport.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
Recently on First Shift,
April DeBoer and Jane Rao join us now.
Again, Tony, the basis of everything came down to protecting our children and their rights. We, as Carol and Dana will tell you, we could draw up all the papers in the world to try to protect them, but in any, you know, an event, a judge could walk in and say, I don't really care about what their wishes were. The best interest of this child is to be with anybody else but this other parent. And the stark reality of that, you know, really hit home as our kids get bigger. You know, we really want to provide everything we can for them to ensure that their rights are protected, and that if something were to happen to one of us, that they would be able to receive our Social Security benefit that a married couple and their children are currently receiving.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiani
on 1310 WDTW.
Unions work.
One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Now, time to punch back in.
22 minutes after 7 o'clock, my guest, Sarah Dufendock. Sarah is the Vice President of Legislative Affairs at Common Cause. You're going to find them online at commoncause.org. They're also involved, deeply involved, in a project called amend2012.org, which we already have on the Facebook page, which will reverse Citizens United. Now, I just, you know, Sarah, want to make this point. The word representative, you know, you happen to have worked for, in David Bonnier, one of the finest congressmen this nation has ever known, because he was truly a representative of the people. Citizens United kind of reminds me of why we need to kind of, you know, take a gut check when we walk into the political arena. Because I don't think that our representatives should be the wealthiest people in our community. I think that they should be a representative of what our community stands for. We get further and further away from that with every passing month that Citizens United goes unchallenged, in my opinion. I'd like your thoughts on that.
Yeah. I think it's amazing. I don't have the statistics in front of me, but the number of members of Congress who are now millionaires is just increasing. And I don't think there's any question that the policies that are being pursued now are policies that make wealthy people wealthier and poor people poorer. And that wealth gap is a real problem in this country. And that, I think, is what sparked a lot of the Occupy movement, a lot of the anger that I think Americans are basically fair. And when they think that the system is rigged, it makes us mad and it makes us frustrated. And I think, you know, in this country, 90% of Americans control 27% of the country's wealth, whereas 1% of Americans control 35% of our country's wealth. That's just wrong. And, you know, you got 1% that controls 8% more of the country's wealth than 90% of the rest of the country. And I get those statistics from the Congressional Budget Office. It's not sustainable. And I think people get it, and they're angry.
Well, they do get it. They are angry. And I'm happy to say that, you know, at some level this has been fairly bipartisan as well, against what Citizens United has done to the political process. And this idea that we own our democracy, and we get further, again, further and further away from that, Sarah, with every passing month from January 2010 on. And that January 2010 is when Citizens United came down like a hammer and really crushed democracy as we understand it. You know, and listen, you know, at some point when we take a look at what Citizens United does, and I want to bring this home for people. I want to bring this home for everybody. Instead of talking about Gingrich and Romney or, you know, making this a federal thing, let's keep it local. You know, because this affects people at the local level as well. This is not something that just affects national policy.
No, it's not. And you know what? If I could just interject here, you would think maybe that businesses think that this is a great thing, that corporations can now use their cash for elections. But in fact, about 88% of small business owners have a very negative view of money and politics overall, and about 66% of them, according to a poll that was done very recently, 66% of small business owners think Citizens United is bad for business. You know, and small business is the backbone of our economy. But business owners understand that they're going to get crushed by all this large mega corporation money just like individuals are. You know, their voices are getting drowned out just like our voices are getting drowned out. So this isn't corporate versus non-corporate. This is really kind of big and small. So, you know, don't think that small businesses are united for this decision. They're not.
Well, you know, and people have said to me, Sarah, that, hey, listen, it's not like, you know, the money didn't influence politics already.
Right.
I agree with that. But this legalized it. You know, this legitimized it. This opened up the floodgates.
Put it on steroids.
Yeah, and it is, this is beyond problematic. All right, I want to go back and revisit the Amend 2012 project. If people, let me make it more specific to the state of Michigan. Are you aware if there's any kind of organized effort here in Michigan to do something in a bigger way?
There is an organized effort for more full disclosure in Michigan. I think there is a ballot initiative that's being launched for more disclosure. I don't know that there is anything organized to actually overturn or reverse Citizens United. But that doesn't matter. That doesn't mean that every citizen in Michigan, talk to your legislators, talk to your congressmen. They're all, you know, lots of folks are up for election and re-election this year. Go to their town halls. Go to candidate meetings. Ask them, are you going to support a constitutional amendment? And if you're not, I don't want to vote for you. You know, take it to them and let them know that you want this to happen. Constitutional amendments, I think they have all started with the federal legislature, but the Congress isn't going to move until it's too painful for them not to move. And that, in the way you make that happen, is that citizens and voters make your voice known that you don't want to get drowned out.
Well, you know, it seems clear to me, and again, you know, I appreciate the you know, their people that are passionate in Michigan about full disclosure, and that's fine. And that's important. I don't want to discount that, Sarah. I really don't. But that's not the issue that we really need to be going after. An amendment to the Constitution. That should be our focus and our goal. Full disclosure is fine. All it's going to tell us is that, you know, the ABC company spent $10 million. Well,
right.
Do I need to know that? Most people don't even care about that. What they do care about, though, and maybe they don't even realize they care about it yet. So I'm telling you, folks, you do care about this.
Yeah. It's hard to care about something you don't know yet.
Yeah. Yeah, it absolutely is. But this is one of those things where you know, I want people to understand, you know, talk about full disclosure. Full disclosure is, folks, no matter how bad you think politics were before Citizens United, it is now being controlled, literally. I mean, why, you know, we didn't even know who the Koch brothers were 2 years ago, Sarah.
Right.
Why are they so well known now? Because of Citizens United.
Right.
You know, and that's just two of what are hundreds, if not thousands, of corporate, you know, naysayers that are going to do what's best for them. I would love to think of a company that's sitting around the boardroom going, you know what? We've got $10 million we want to give to a candidate. Which one is going to do the socially responsible thing?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think you have to understand that corporations are formed for one purpose, and that is to make a profit. That is their mission. That is their goal. And in fact, by law, if a corporation is not pursuing the profit motive, they can be fined. That's their job. The job of a government is to look out for the people.
All right, we're out of time, Sarah, unfortunately. Again, it's amend2012.org. We've got it up on the Facebook page. We're going to continue to follow this. Sarah, know that whenever you need to get on this show to promote whatever it is you folks are doing, we're here for you.
Thank you so much. This is a great topic. I've had a good time.
Thank you, Sarah Dufendock, once again. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and continue with today's program after we do this.
WDTW continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We got a vehicle fire on the right shoulder. It's causing some pretty good Gawker delays on Infinite on westbound right before Mound. Also, 696 westbound at 75. We have an accident there on the right shoulder causing delays back to about DeQuinder. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW Motor City weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, mostly sunny, a high in the mid-50s. Tonight, mostly cloudy, some scattered showers in there as well, a low around 36. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny, on near 44. Right now it's fair and 41 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. The International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers says that First Energy's announcement it will close 6 coal-fired power plants by September of 2012 is evidence that more time is needed to implement new EPA rules. IBEW Utility Department Director Jim Hunter.
We are very concerned about the environment. Our concern here is simply that we don't have enough time. We believe if we had more time, there'd be more plants retrofitted, which would be jobs retrofitting them, jobs operating and maintaining them, and that everyone would benefit by a longer time frame to implement these rules. We understand the rules and we're okay with the rules, but we need more time.
529 jobs and more than 2,600 megawatts of power will be lost when First Energy closes those 6 power plants in Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Maryland. Members of Canadian Auto Workers Local 27 have been locked out at Caterpillar's electromotive plant in London, Ontario since New Year's Day. The profitable company is demanding a 50% pay cut at the locomotive plant. Caterpillar bought the plant in June of 2010. The company walked away from negotiations after dropping a take-it-or-leave-it so-called offer that not only slashes wages and benefits by half, but also eliminates the pension plan. The 465 locked-out CAW workers say Canada's federal government has not disclosed the terms of that purchase. The union says ineffective foreign investment rules could result in the loss of 800 jobs and the end to 60 years of high-value-added manufacturing at that plant. Some big names in technology are having to defend themselves in an antitrust action, Jesse Russell reports.
Some of the top technology firms in the country are being faced with accusations that they violated federal antitrust laws. A lawsuit alleges Adobe, Apple, Google, Lucasfilm, Inuit, and Pixar had an agreement to not hire employees out from under one another. One piece of evidence shows former Apple CEO Steve Jobs emailing Google CEO Eric Schmidt and asking that Schmidt stop his human resources department from trying to hire his employees. Google's response was to terminate the department employee who attempted to poach the Apple employee. The suit was filed last week, and the plaintiffs are seeking to turn it into a class action lawsuit. The plaintiffs believe that the pacts to not hire employees kept workers from receiving competitive pay.
This newscast was made possible in part by AFSCME, the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees. This is what democracy looks like. Wisconsin's Worker Uprising, a one-hour radio documentary produced by Workers Independent News in conjunction with WORT. Get your copy today at laborradio.org. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671. Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy. We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after 7 o'clock. It is the 31st day of January 2012. That's right. Tomorrow's February 1. You know what that means, don't you, Jeff?
January is done.
No.
Well, it does.
Oh, yeah, but that's not what it means. It's National Signing Day tomorrow.
Are you big into National Signing Day?
Well, you know, I always find it interesting because there are always a few surprises, and it's not like I'll even know that they were surprises. I just, the whole process of a 17-year-old kid deciding his fate and then kind of juking out some pretty major league heavy hitters is kind of interesting, if not maybe a little immature at some level. Because I'm sure there are some kids that really mess with these schools, don't they?
I don't know that they mess with the schools. I think they mess with fans. And that's the part that I find either scary or kind of weirded out by, that people are, their entire days will be ruined by the fact that they have such an opinion on a kid they've never seen play the game and not going to their school or going to their school. So to me, that's a weird thing.
Yeah. Well, and it's, you know, it's a big day in college football. And so it will be, and you're right, even if they're messing with the fans, well, ultimately they're messing with the program, which means they're messing with the school. And by the way, you know, this John Doe, senior linebacker from Ishpeming, Michigan, who let's say is a 4-star recruit, has a financial impact on the institution that he's being recruited by. So, you know, again, if you follow the money, you know, there's money involved there. I mean, you know, these kids, and there's been an ongoing debate. I remember HBO did a thing on Real Sports some months back, Jeff, about whether or not college kids should be paid. And I'm leaning in that direction because the universities make millions of dollars off these kids. They really do. They make millions of dollars off them. And, you know, most of these young people are, what, 21, 22 when they leave college, 23 maybe? And, you know, they have helped make that institution millions of dollars. And some of these, the vast majority of these young people that play in college, play especially college football and college basketball, after their college careers are over, will never play another minute of that sport. Yet that individual university can continue to make money off that kid from years to come. It's wrong, I
There's
think.
A blurry line, though, between who makes who. And that's what I think is interesting, is you know, to suggest that these colleges are making tons of money off these kids is to say if those kids didn't go to that college, then they would have suffered. No, they would just find somebody else. You know what I'm saying? Like the Terrell Pryor, for instance, Ohio State quarterback. Did he make Ohio State a ton of money, or did Ohio State, because they had a decent quarterback and are a national power, just, you know, make him who he was?
No, it's the other way around. He made them a lot of money.
He goes to a different school, and Ohio State still does fine. That other school does fine.
Again, it does fine. And, you know, again, it's a business. So let's break that down. Let's line item it. Okay, let's say Terrell Pryor doesn't come to Ohio State, and then they recruit another quarterback who doesn't do nearly as well, which means they don't make nearly as much money because they also do merchandising. And so, yeah, Ohio State now has made less money than they would have with Terrell Pryor. Now, by an extension,
I think that's a reach a little bit.
How?
Because you're suggesting that they couldn't have found another guy. I mean, there are
no.
A lot
I'm not
of really
suggesting
good
that. I'm not suggesting that. I'm not suggesting that they would have found another guy.
And then
but
they
what if
been...
he's not as good? What if he doesn't have the name recognition? You know, this goes back to the way these guys are ranked and rated, and you know, especially with the advent of the internet, there isn't nothing that you can't find out about a high school football player before he commits to a college. Nothing, including YouTube videos.
Well, that's true. I mean, Sam McGuffey is a running back for Michigan. Huge YouTube videos, huge hype. Did go to Michigan. Wasn't very successful.
Oh, again, not everybody, of course, works out the way they're supposed to.
No, I mean, that's the thing. That's why, you know, Ohio State, regardless of Terrell Pryor is there, has three other quarterbacks that was the best quarterback on their team and one of the top quarterbacks in their state and would have been good enough to propel Ohio State to a bowl game, and yet they make tons of money regardless.
Well, at the I just feel that they use these guys, and let me give you another example, Jeff. Let's say it doesn't matter who the kid is, gets hurt 3 years into his college career, gets hurt, and he's done. He's never going to play football again. Now, did they recruit him? And we need to have an honest discussion. Did they recruit him for his football abilities or for his academic acumen? His football abilities, right?
Right.
So let's say he's not a very bright student, and don't you dare suggest to me that every athlete that has a scholarship's a good student, because I'll come in there and beat the living you-know-what out of you.
I wouldn't do that.
All right. Where is this kid left? When he no longer has use of this university, what's left? What do they do with that young man?
The agreement is you get to play sports here, and the other side is you have an opportunity to take advantage of an education here. If he doesn't take advantage of the education, that's kind of his fault, isn't it? They'll still give you a scholarship
degree. I'll give you that, but you can't, again, convince me. And I've done a little homework on this topic. You can't convince me that they're encouraging them to excel in the classroom, because they're not.
You know what, though? At what point is it his responsibility? If I'm great at football and I get a free ride to it, like a school like Michigan or Stanford or whatever, I understand, yeah, I got a chance for the NFL, and yeah, I'm good at football, but you also got to take advantage of the fact that you won't have student loans when you get done. I mean, that's one of the things we talk about every day on the show.
Yeah, but you see, you're talking very pragmatically, and we're talking about kids that are that are being treated special from the time that they're pretty young, maybe even as young as elementary school. All right, they have a gift. People know they have a gift. They're going to treat them differently, and so they are nurtured up until that point where they need to make a college decision. Mom and dad are, of course, happy because they're not coming out of pocket to educate that kid. And so I send my kid off to whatever school, and now they're going to sign a contract. Are you aware, Jeff, that contract states that they can use your likeness in any way, shape, or form to profit off of you, and that if you don't agree to that, you don't get to keep your scholarship? What's a kid supposed to do? The kid is going to sign the damn contract, of course. And so this is just, again, it'd be different if we weren't, especially football, because football pays for, in some programs, up to 80% of all college sports, especially women's college sports. That's a lot of money. So, when we're talking about, and then talk about a business, and I think that you and I had this conversation, Jeff, a couple weeks ago, that there's more money in college football than there is in professional football. Obviously, because it's, there's a lot more college teams.
And it goes to a lot more places, like you were
absolutely
saying.
So it's crazy. All right, let's go to the – I don't know how the heck we ended up here, but we did. Let's go to Dan in Milford. Dan, welcome to First Shift. What's on your mind this morning?
Morning, Tony. Hey, I think this is the first time I'm going to disagree with you.
All right.
Hey, listen, I think, college athletes, I think that's right. They, $800,000 worth of tuition and room and board is pretty good pay. And I think that I liken it to, it's sort of like the tax law, right? I mean, it's distasteful that, gobs of money get made and are not taxed at the right rate. It's distasteful that the universities make all this money on these kids and that stuff like that. But at the end of the day, the problem is the rules, and the problem is the tax code. I think it's the same where, I agree. I mean, I think that there's some stuff wrong with it, but I think you gotta change the law. You gotta change the rules, because people are gonna operate within the rules, to make the most money they can. That's just human nature.
And again, I don't disagree with any of that. We were talking about that, last week with regard to politics. And listen, when Mitt Romney released his income tax for 2 years, people were clamoring about this and that. Listen, he did everything within the realm of the law. So you don't have to like it, and you don't like it, you got to change the law. But, I'd find him a fool for not you know, trying to extract every last penny he could that the law would allow him. With regard to the situation with football, you're right. It is, you said it perfectly, it's about the rules. And I think the rules should definitively state that they have to commit X amount of hours every week for the entire school year to their academia, because they did, and I know kids that have gone to college on scholarships. Once they're there, Dan, the only thing they ask of them is to do well on the field. That's all they ask of them.
I completely agree. And I played college football in Division II, you know, and I wasn't there on scholarship. But, you know, some of what Jeff said in terms of it's the kid's responsibility to a certain extent, but I agree with you, Tony, that there should be a governed focus on having these kids do well in academics, you know. And it takes me back to a whole there was a call, I can't remember her name, I think she was from Ypsilanti, it was a few weeks ago, and she used the words moral math. It's the right thing, you know, as it relates to what these kids are there for and the obligation of that institution to that kid, and the foundation is education, and I completely agree.
You're right.
Dan, like that. I think it would change.
Thanks for the call, bud. You're right. Moral math fits here as well. Thank you. I appreciate the call. Well, we're certainly not going to resolve this, but to say, you know, again, if it were my kid, he were on scholarship somewhere, I would remind him on a daily basis, whether via email, text, phone call, son, daughter, do not forget, you have been given a gift. You need to extract from this gift every ounce of education you can, because you do not know that if the next time you step on the field may be the last time you step on that field. You've made a commitment. Now make a commitment to yourself. And they don't stress that, and you can't tell me otherwise. Quick break here. Occupy Detroit on the other side. Stay with us.
Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
On 1310
WDTW.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining us now is David Hecker.
There is a surplus, and the key is we have to spend it. You know, an awful lot of times people say, well, let's stick it away in a quote-unquote rainy day fund. And, you know, the line I'm going to use has been used by many people many times, but it's pouring outside. This is when we need to spend it.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me, State Senator Bert Johnson.
How we want to do this is very simple. The state of Michigan taxpayers give away every year $35 billion, with a B, dollars to corporations in tax breaks and tax credits. We want to take a look from an accountability standpoint at every single one of those dollars. One of the biggest things the governor said last year was that he wanted to manage and look at and be accountable to every citizen for all of these tax credits. We know that there are many loopholes that can be closed. We want to take a mere 10% of those dollars back. That would be $3.5 billion. That would be enough, Tony, to cover the bill to send every high school grad, I don't care if you went to private or public or homeschool, If you graduated, we want to send every high school grad to college with a full $9,500 grant that would be enough to cover every dollar of tuition at any of our 15 public universities and our junior colleges.
First Shift with Tony Trivia on 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women who put in a hard day's work every day. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
Chanting. We're standing right in the middle of this rally, and they're saying that they're tired of corporate greed. They've had it.
Absolutely. I'm part of the 99% that have sped up with the egregious behavior of the 1%. From now on, we occupy all streets.
The movement is resonating with cities across the country. It began as that Occupy Wall Street effort.
The movement to Occupy Wall Street coming to Detroit.
The world will not change unless the way we talk about it changes.
We can just get that message across. It'll hopefully start some change.
Dozens of UAW members showed up to support the protesters.
We're losing our homes. We're losing our jobs. Union workers are facing a terrible time at the bargaining table, and workers who don't have unions are even worse off.
Time for Occupy Detroit to Occupy First Shift, and it is that time, 7:50 indeed, and we turn our attention now to our guest today, and that is Justin Clark. Justin, welcome back to First Shift. It's a pleasure to have you on this morning.
It's a pleasure to be on. Thank you for having us.
Well, you know, we're going to talk about something called Shareholder Spring, and anything with the word spring in it is fine with me, buddy.
Yep. As I said, I'm with Occupier Homes, and as you already know, Occupier Homes has been doing work around foreclosures for the past couple of months. We've already saved one family from eviction. We're working on saving a second family, along with several others who have come forward who are looking for our help. Our newest project that we're working on is something called Shareholder Spring. In April and May of this year, there's going to be shareholder meetings all across the country. These shareholder meetings, anyone can attend. So what we're going to do is we're going to be spending the next 2 months building up to these shareholder meetings through various public actions. We're going to do some teach-ins, some media days. We're going to canvass some neighborhoods, and we're going to do actions at banks and still continue to do our work against foreclosure. And then in April and May, we're going to be sending families, activists, and if any of your viewers are interested, we'd love to include them. We're going to be sending them to these shareholder meetings to give the banks a piece of their mind.
That sounds awesome. I mean, that does. It really sounds awesome. Well, first of all, for those that might be interested, and I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves here, might be interested in getting involved with that, what's the best way to connect with you, Justin?
The best way to connect is probably by showing up, by coming to one of our rallies. Networking in person is one of the best ways to really get involved. Other than that, there's information on the OccupyOurHomes.org website if you're more interested. There's also an Occupy Our Homes Facebook page where if there's any interest, people can post their contact information there. I'm also willing to give out my email address.
Okay.
Any listener who's interested can send me an email, and I'll try and get you involved in any way that I can. Are you ready for my email?
I am.
jclarksummit, S-U-M-M-I-T, at gmail.com. That's jclarksummit. At gmail.com. Send me an email, tell me your level of interest, and I'd be happy to get you involved wherever possible. But as I said, really the best way to get involved is to show up at one of our rallies or phone banks or one of these teach-ins and network in person, introduce yourself, and get involved. Like I said, anyone can show up to these shareholder meetings. Anybody is welcome to do so.
All right, before we go on, and I'll come back to this in just a moment, I have to ask you, we talked yesterday about, I believe it was the Garrett family on the show. Are you familiar with them, Justin?
I am familiar with the Garrett family. The Garrett family's eviction defense is being bottom-lined by Occupy Detroit, which is a separate entity from Occupy Our Homes.
Right.
And in solidarity, and many members overlap. But Occupy Detroit is bottom-lining their defense. Yesterday, Occupy Detroit staged a very impressive defense of the Garrett's home. They brought the dumpsters in, and the occupiers used their cars to block the dumpsters from going up to the Garrett's home. And the Garretts are able to stay in their home another day because of what happened yesterday.
Yeah, I just wanted to get a quick update, and I appreciate you giving that. So let's go back to the shareholder spring. Now, there's going to be, so that people understand, one of the things I like about the way this is going is there's a little pre-publicity, getting people involved, getting them engaged, getting them educated, which, Justin, you and I both know is extremely important to having a
Absolutely.
Successful event. And then, of course, there's going to be all the work that happens this actual spring. So, there's a very deliberate process that is going into making sure that this is a successful. I don't even want to call it an event because it's going to be an ongoing action. But certainly, we begin with that. Now, it's my understanding that on Thursday, for the people in Michigan anyway, that there are going to be some demand letters that are going to be delivered to some corporate targets here in Michigan.
Yes, this is the first phase of the shareholder spring. We'll be gathering at a Bank of America branch in Detroit on Thursday. The more specific details will be posted on our Facebook page by the end of today. But we're going to have a few families come out to this Bank of America branch and deliver letters to Bank of America explaining their situation, whether they've already lost their home, or whether they're in the foreclosure process, or they've gone to the sheriff's sale. This is really the first phase in shareholder spring. It kicks off this Thursday, February 2nd.
Well, it's kind of cool if you stop, and I just want to remind the audience, we certainly we've been very involved with the situation with the Henrys. We saw what happened when 1515 Broadway was in trouble and people stepped up and how quickly the bank responded to that. Justin, I have optimistic reasons to believe that if, especially with Occupy Our Homes, if we can continue to grow this faction, if you will, of the Occupy movement, that the exponential benefit is only going to get stronger and, more importantly, maybe quicker for the affected families than anybody would have ever thought. In fact, a year ago, this wasn't even an option for people.
Right. Absolutely. I think people around the country are starting to see, because Occupy Our Homes is a national movement, that this form of social unionism really works to keep people in their homes. If you put pressure on the banks, and if communities and neighborhoods stand together, foreclosure becomes obsolete.
Absolutely. Well, we've got to take it. We've got to close it out for the top of the hour. But Justin, we're gonna certainly make sure we get everybody to the Facebook page. That's where all the great information is going to be. I've got his email address, folks, if you need it. Thanks so much for your time, and we'll visit with Occupy Detroit again tomorrow. That'll do it for us in this hour. Former congressman and current co-chair of the Blue Green Alliance, Mark Schauer, on the other side of this break. Stay with us.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're still looking at some delays on 696 westbound between Mound and 75, though that accident is gone. Also, some slowdowns on southbound 75 between 14 Mile down through 8 Mile. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, mostly sunny, a high near 55. Tonight, some scattered showers, mostly cloudy otherwise, a low in the mid-30s. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny once again, but a high only in the mid-40s. Right now, it's fair and 41 degrees at Detroit City Airport.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift with me, Tony Trupiano, after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310 WDTW. Dearborn, Detroit. Now, time for news from CNN.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. Leading the news this hour, the polls are open in the Florida primary. CNN's Bob Costantini joins us live from Tampa, where the lead up to this primary has been a bare-knuckle brawl. Bob?
Well, Jim, it's a confident Mitt Romney making fun of Newt Gingrich.
I know, it's sad. He's been flailing around a bit, trying to go after me for one thing or the other.
And as all the polls open today in the winner-take-all Florida primary, Newt Gingrich, speaking to a crowd here in Tampa, calls for a truth movement in the GOP.
We can't beat the money power of Romney himself. We can't beat the dishonesty of his campaign by ourselves. We need witnesses who are prepared to go out and prepared to stand for conservatism.
Romney's lead here is double digits in all polls, a remarkable turnaround from a week ago. Jim?
CNN's Bob Costantini in Tampa. President Obama's raised some eyebrows by publicly discussing U.S. drone attacks in Pakistan. CNN's Barbara Starr reports this is not likely to help U.S.-Pakistani relations.
These CIA drone strikes are very well known behind the scenes, if you will. Everybody knows the CIA flies drones into Pakistan, launches missiles, and kills militants, but you don't talk about it because it backs Pakistan into a corner.
Hundreds of militants overran military checkpoints in northwest Pakistan today. Military and government officials say at least 8 soldiers were killed, 10 wounded. Those officials say more than 24 militants were killed in the fighting that lasted several hours. A convicted killer pardoned by former Mississippi Governor Haley Barbour has been located in Wyoming. Joseph Osment had failed to show up for a court hearing in a case challenging the pardons. CNN legal contributor Paul Callen says Mississippi authorities are in something of a legal bind.
Bottom line, in my opinion, there's nothing that Mississippi can do to force him to return from Wyoming or any other state that he wants to go to.
The small central Texas community has begun trucking in thousands of gallons of water to avoid running dry during the state's historic drought. Two trucks brought about 8,000 gallons of water to Spicewood Beach, some 35 miles northwest of Austin. This is CNN Radio.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
If it's hard to stop or you hear squealing or grinding noises during braking, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. You'll find the brake parts you need from trusted brands like Brake Best, Brake Best Select, and Wagner Thermo Quiet. In stock and at everyday low prices. Play it safe with brake parts from O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
My game plan for big game entertaining? Sam's Club.
Member Casey Harrison.
We save on all the snacks, all the drinks, even a sharp 60-inch LED TV. So on game day, the best seats in the house are going to be in my house.
Not a member? Start your new Sam's Club Plus membership now through February 5th and score extra points with a $20 gift card. Then make saving part of your game plan all year long.
Great prices, great selection, great party. In my book, that's a win-win-win.
Sam's Club. Savings made simple.
It turns out already struggling Radio Shack is struggling a lot more than people thought. The company now expects to make only about a third of the profit in the quarter that Wall Street was looking for. The chain says its partnership with Sprint Wireless is the main culprit, sales weak. Radio Shack stock lost almost 20% of its value in extended trades. Soon we may start to see a stabilizing in the nation's housing market, and reports scheduled for this morning may help usher it in. That's the cautious hope of many economists ahead of the S&P Case-Shiller Home Price Index, which comes out about an hour from now. The market looking for a 3.3% home value drop in the 20 large metro areas surveyed, which would be the slowest decrease in home values in almost a year. Stock futures have been up throughout the duration of the morning. Right now, S&P futures gaining 6, NASDAQ futures up 10, Dow futures rising 59. A bit of a rally for oil futures, up $1.50 in early trades to just above $100 a barrel. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
Here we have a rare treat, the keeper of the forest, as some have coined her. Built to carry heavy loads, long distances, using minimal natural resources. Her coat of iron and steel keeps her safe. You can just feel the motherly instinct she has for her surroundings.
Sometimes the best things for nature come in unexpected forms. CSX trains move one ton of freight nearly 500 miles on a single gallon of fuel. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
We all know that email marketing from Constant Contact is a powerful tool for small businesses. But now, Constant Contact is kicking it up a notch, helping you tap into the wonderful world of social media. Your customer now gets your informative email, but with an extra boost, a share button that lets them spread your message to all their friends. So your powerful email is now a super powerful social media email. And super powerful is way better than powerful. Go to ConstantContact.com and sign up for a free 60-day trial today.
You have teams in Tucson, Tennessee, and Taipei, and you need to work together. No problem. Welcome to GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix, the easy-to-use, extraordinarily powerful way to meet online. Simply launch or join a meeting with one click from any computer, then share screens and webcams in real time, and review and edit documents together. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and enter promo code 45. GoToMeeting with HD Faces. Try it free today.
Merrillman, one of our vendors, just called.
That's nice, Mr. Fernwell.
We owe him for a job that closed 8 months ago.
Yeah, Susan, the office manager, owes me for lunch last week.
The accounting team is swamped, Merrillman. Call Bob from Account Temps. Bob knows our accounting system inside out and can step right in so we can get caught up without all this overtime.
Maybe Bob can help me collect from Susan.
Be flexible, work smarter with Account Temps, the staffing firm recommended by 9 out of 10 hiring managers. A Robert Half company. Learn more at AccountTemps.com.
They call us a mob.
To try to divide us.
They tell us prosperity should start at the top and to wait for it to trickle down.
More like piddle down.
They refuse to compromise for the good of the country.
When you're right, you don't have to compromise. Compromise is for people that are wrong.
Instead, caring more about the politics of politics.
I don't know why he believes that it's going to be any easier for Republicans than Democrats to make these tough decisions.
They think we have no choice but to sit back and take it.
Think again.
No more. This is First Shift with Tony Trubiano.
Welcome, everybody. It is just 6 minutes after 8 o'clock here on this Tuesday, January 31st, 2012. A little bit later on in this hour, we'll have some time for open lines. I promised a little earlier on in the show I'm going to read to you a thing called A Day in the Life of Joe Republican. You're definitely going to want to. Some of you have, a lot of you may have heard this before, but it bears repeating. I haven't shared this in a couple years, actually, so I want to get to that. But we've got a lot of other stuff to do, including my next guest, who I'm very excited to introduce here in just a second. Do want to remind you, if you'd like to join us at any time throughout the show, of course, with a guest, be topical. No guest, open lines means it's fair game. 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org is the email address, and on Twitter at Tony Trupiano. Let me turn my attention now. You know, we talk a lot on this show, and we do our monthly segment with the Michigan Environmental Council, and we talk about green energy on this show, and we talk about doing the right thing in that regard. But we really don't talk enough about creating the kind of industry, and is Michigan even prepared to do that? To create the kind of industry that could provide not just great jobs, but a cleaner environment, but certainly in some cases, by law, mandatory changes in where our energy needs to come from. Of course, the other part of that is, does it need to be forced on us? That's really the point that needs to be made. We need to be working in that direction. I keep on, and I don't know why I keep going back to this, because maybe I'm just, there's something about these windmills that I find enchanting. And I'm just being totally honest with you, it's this romanticized idea of what windmills represent for me, and it's a personal thing. But, when I think of green energy, that's what I think of. We also know that there's some serious commitment to that kind of renewable energy here in Michigan. Joining me now is former congressman and national co-chair of the Blue-Green Alliance, Mark Schauer. And, Mark, it's a pleasure to have you back on the show. I certainly appreciate you taking the time to be with us this morning.
It's my pleasure, Tony.
You know, when we talk about renewable energy, and let's set aside any divisiveness that might be out there. I know people are going to, there's going to be those on the right that are going to say, oh, yeah, look at Solyndra. Look what happened there. Well, let's take a look at what happened there, Mark. You know, it wasn't properly supported. There's a lot of reasons why Solyndra didn't work. That doesn't mean that solar energy is a bad idea, and it doesn't mean that we shouldn't invest more. In fact, we probably should invest more money in renewable energy. That would solve part of that problem.
Well, the renewable energy sector of the economy is growing faster than the economy as a whole. In fact, during the Great Recession, that sector of the economy was growing by about 8%. So jobs are being created, and what I see in Michigan is growth in the auto sector relating to producing clean vehicles, and the president's fuel efficiency standards, which there was a EPA hearing in Detroit about a week ago. That change, which has been embraced by a coalition of the auto industry, the UAW, and environmental groups, 13 auto companies support it because they know that's what consumers want, and they also know it will create jobs. In Michigan, it'll create about 24,000 jobs, good manufacturing jobs. In renewable energy, and as we think about wind and solar and hydro and biomass, you know, we're seeing a manufacturing sector starting to emerge here in Michigan because of the demand for renewable energy is growing here, in part because of the law that was passed when I was in the legislature in 08. But good construction jobs are being created, erecting wind farms all over the state. And this is the 21st century economy is the clean energy economy, and it's a win-win because we create good family-supporting jobs, we protect the environment, and we become more energy independent. And that's why there's a broad coalition forming for the Michigan Energy, Michigan Jobs ballot initiative, which the Blue-Green Alliance supports. It's very exciting for Michigan.
All right, let me just ask you to give Michigan a grade. How are we doing with regard to clean energy investment? If you were to give us a grade A, B, C, D, E, where would Michigan fall in on that?
I think Michigan deserves a solid B plus, because well, what we're now seeing nationally is the U.S. had fallen to third behind China and Germany in private sector investment for renewable energy. The U.S. is back on top again, and Michigan is one of the reasons why. We've got great companies in this state like Dow Chemical, Dow Corning, the Detroit Three Auto Companies, these battery companies that are all over the state. The president featured a worker at a plant in Holland, Energetics, and that's a company that is part of the wind supply chain. So we are seeing those jobs created here in that private sector investment, and the question is, are we going to continue to lead in a highly competitive global marketplace, or are we not? And I think government policies can be helpful. The vehicle fuel efficiency standards are an example of sort of helping us move more quickly in that area. And I think the renewable energy standard or renewable portfolio standard that is in place to generate 10% of our electricity from renewable sources by 2015. But, you know, that's going to stop in 2015 if we don't continue that sort of certainty in the marketplace. And that's what the Michigan Energy, Michigan Jobs proposal is all about.
And at some level, it puts us, I would think, at a competitive disadvantage if we don't extend that program. And I know part of you know, the information that you provided to me was that there would be an energy standard to 25% by the year 2025. Again,
right.
Mark, I want to go back to, you know, being in a competitive disadvantage. If we don't kind of stay on this path. And I would suggest,
right.
you know, 25% by 2025 should be, the low end of where we need to be, but certainly right. something to shoot for. Am I wrong by saying that we would be at a competitive disadvantage if we don't follow this this law?
You're right, because surrounding states in the Great Lake region, Illinois is already at 25 by 25. Wisconsin and Minnesota are ahead of us and seeing robust growth. And then, you know, Iowa, Colorado out west, and manufacturers go to states where there is that marketplace. And I, for one, would like to see the wind turbine components more and more coming from Michigan rather than being shipped in from Colorado. So we would put ourselves at a competitive disadvantage. This private sector investment would not come here. And, you know, Tony, I'll give you a couple of numbers. As a result of this Michigan Energy, Michigan Jobs proposal, and people can go to the website. It's My Energy, My Jobs, my being MI, so MyEnergyMyJobs.com, it would trigger $10 billion in economic development activity in the state, 44,000 new jobs. And these are jobs that can't be outsourced.
Yeah, I like the way that sounds. Here's a question. I think it's a fair question. What does this do to the price of energy? And I think that, Mark, you know, as a homeowner, that's something that we do need to take a look at. And I think it's a fair question. Do we see a significant increase in our energy consumption in our home?
Well, the first thing to understand is if we do nothing, where there is a cost to that, to doing nothing. And the utility industry is in a state of transition. Coal is not affordable. They're shifting to more gas-fired plants. They're decommissioning some older, polluting, less efficient plants. So in this proposal, there is a cost cap, meaning that utility companies couldn't increase rates to consumers as a result of transitioning more to renewables, and no more than 1% per year. That's, as we've looked at the numbers, that's very doable. So this actually provides that protection for consumers. And, you know, here's the point. If utility companies are generating 25% from renewables, that provides a more balanced portfolio. You know, here, once a wind farm is operating, sure, there's some maintenance costs, of course, which translates into jobs too, but the source of that power is free. It's wind. So those costs, and the MPSC will be issuing another report in a couple of weeks, those costs are really contained and provide more stability for electricity rates for customers. So that's another benefit of this proposal.
Well, you know, I guess maybe it's just the logic, and I'll be the first to admit, Mark Schauer, I'm not the most learned person on these topics, so that's basically why we have you here. But I'm thinking, you know, again, I spoke fairly passionately and romantically about wind power. I don't know what it is about wind power, but it just turns me on. I think it's a great source of energy.
I
don't know why. There's just something about it that just really gets me going.
Yep.
You know, at the same time, you know, when we talk about, and we're going to have to take a break here, but we talk about solar power, I just can't imagine any cleaner than wind and sun. And, you know, why is this so hard for so many?
Absolutely. I mean, Michigan actually has, people don't believe this, but a climate that's conducive to solar. Solar is, costs are coming down, and I think as we see in the 2020s.
Mark, I got to take a quick break here. Hold that thought.
Right.
We'll be right back. I'm Tony Truppiano. Mark Schauer, my guest. We'll be back.
It was $1 trillion and thousands of U.S. lives to topple a dictator in Iraq. It's $1 billion and no U.S. lives to topple a dictator in Libya. That's a pretty stark contrast.
On 1310 WDTW. 1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're looking at some delays on 96 eastbound between Milford Road through Beck Road. 696 westbound between Mound and 75 is backed up, as is M14 westbound between Godfredson and US 23. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, we're looking at some mostly sunny skies, a high in the mid-50s, unseasonably warm. Obviously, mostly cloudy, a low around 36 tonight. Some scattered showers in there as well. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny once again, a high in the mid-40s. Right now it's fair and 41 degrees at Detroit City Airport.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So, if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Recently on First Shift.
There are two laws currently in Congress that you need to know about. One of them is called the Protect IP Act, or PIPA, and the other one is the Stop Online Piracy Act, known as SOPA. They are companion bills. Assistant Professor Aaron Perzanowski at Wayne State Law School.
Under the Protect IP Act, here's what would happen if this bill becomes law. If a federal prosecutor alleges to a court that a foreign website facilitates copyright or trademark infringement. Now, that might mean as little as a site that provides a link to infringing material elsewhere on the internet. A court can then order an internet service provider to prevent U.S. citizens from accessing that website. It required no court approval, no oversight at all, no neutral evaluation of the merits of these claims. These both would be disastrous bills.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, 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 tweet. First word. First thoughts. First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you. First Shift on 1310 WDTW with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after the hour. Mark Schauer is with us with the Blue Green Alliance. You're going to find them online at bluegreenalliance.org. There you can get to a lot of other places, of course. You know, we talk about green energy. We were talking before the break, Mark, about the solar and wind. And again, you had said that Michigan is actually the perfect climate for this. And it makes complete sense to me, especially with the Great Lakes, that we haven't seen more investment has been kind of surprising.
Right. No, we've got outstanding areas for wind, and I'm talking onshore. So we're not, you know, I don't think, you know, offshore wind is in the cards for some time, but places in the thumb along places like Ludington and Muskegon along the Lake Michigan shoreline, mid-Michigan between Lansing and Mount Pleasant. We're seeing a lot of development in Gratiot County, even in the Upper Peninsula, in the Escanaba area, and there's another proposed wind farm there. But we're starting to talk about solar, and we're thinking probably in the 2020s we'll start to see some more industrial type solar development. Right now it's sort of sporadic, smaller scale, but the economics really work when you see sort of, I don't know if you've been to the Ford Michigan Assembly Plant in Wayne. They've got a whole big parking lot full of solar arrays, and that's probably even a small scale, but seeing large solar farms, if you will, like that. And Michigan's climate is viable for that. We also generate renewable energy from biomass, whether it's methane from landfills. There's a Fremont Community Digester taking food byproduct from Gerber and turning that into methane to generate electricity by moving turbines. In hydropower, we expect to see small scale but continued generation from updating older dams in rivers and streams around the state. And we have a company, actually, Kaiser Hydro, in Norway in the UP that makes those turbines. So there's a lot in it for us on the manufacturing side, the construction side, the development side. That's part of where those 44,000 jobs will come from when Michigan Energy, Michigan Jobs, is hopefully passed by the voters in November.
You know, it seems to me, as I'm listening to you talk, and we talk about, we've got labor on one side, and, you know, and this kind of goes back to the whole spirit of the Blue-Green Alliance, it really is a unique partnership, because you wouldn't necessarily, you know, envision these two subsets working together, but it's been a pretty seamless process.
It's not without its challenges, that's for sure, but the fact that, the blue part of the Blue-Green Alliance is, folks that wear hard hats and steel-toe boots and safety glasses, hard-working men and women, representing millions of union workers around the country. Eight different unions are part of the Blue-Green Alliance, and then there are four environmental groups. That's the green side of the Blue-Green Alliance, and they realize that it's not jobs versus in the environment. It's both or neither, and the way we win as a country, the way we remain and are globally competitive in the future is by finding areas where we can work together. And this notion of setting a renewable energy standard that provides some certainty for the marketplace, that helps us transition away from imported energy supplies, fossil fuel, it's a win-win-win for this country.
Well, you know, I take a look at our current legislature here in the state of Michigan, and I wonder if they have a large enough vision to understand that we need to be creating proactive legislation, Mark Schauer, to make sure that we continue to both make the investment we need to make in a commitment to clean energy, and then, of course, attracting business to the state of Michigan. I don't feel as optimistic, Mark, in that regard. I feel optimistic that you're leading the effort here in the state of Michigan and at the national level, but you don't get to make that policy decision, Mark.
Right. Well, and this Michigan Energy, Michigan Jobs initiative is one that we're taking to the voters. When I was a Democratic leader in the Senate in 2008, and we passed Public Act 295 that created the 10% by 2015. That's the best we could get at that time, and I don't see this legislature doing anything until that law expires, and so we'll sort of see this whole industry stop at that point. And what Michigan Energy, Michigan Jobs is just sort of a continuation of that sort of that slope, continuing gradually to transition us toward a clean energy economy. So we're in the we'll be soon starting collecting signatures, and with a goal of collecting about 500,000 signatures by about the 4th of July, And then, you know, we'll let the voters decide in November, and hopefully the and the public is there. The public realizes we're moving. We want to move toward energy independence. We want to move toward cleaner air, and we want to move toward Michigan jobs.
Well, and I think, Mark Schauer, it's very important, and I want everybody listening to the show today to fully understand what I'm about to say. The education, educating our neighbors, our friends, our family to why it's critical that we move in this direction. It's and my concern isn't even somebody else going to do it, because somebody else, Mark, is already doing it. It's
yes.
It's to be sure. It is to be sure, critically sure, that we don't fall behind, because it's much harder to catch up than it is to stay in the game.
Well, it is. And, you know, nobody can predict with certainty how the price of natural gas and coal will be 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now. We're seeing coal very expensive. The transportation costs are high. All coal coming into Michigan, you know, it's imported, so it's not a domestic energy source. Natural gas is affordable. It's relatively cheap now. That subject should change. What we know from renewables, once the investment is made, and that investment means manufacturing and construction of these renewable energy sources, that the energy source is free.
All right, let's take a very quick call, because we're just about out of time. Joe in East Point, right. Joe, please get right to your question.
Yes. Have you heard of anyone perhaps going to introduce linear induction motors as a means of producing really cheap power, solid power at all? Thank you.
You know, I'm not familiar with that specific technology, but I will tell you what the Blue Green Alliance is also a part of is helping to support new technologies in manufacturing, helping to green the manufacturing process, cut out waste, whether it's through older, less efficient technologies, through waste of water, through recycling, that greening of the manufacturing process, and finding these new technologies, and including you know, vehicle technologies and technologies for big trucks and buses and so forth. Yeah. It's all part of the green economy.
Absolutely,
green
Mark.
Economy and here in Michigan,
and it sure goes by fast. We're out of time. I will commit, and in the 10 seconds I have left, I will commit to making the show available to you to educate whenever you need it. So it's there.
Great. Thanks,
Mark Schauer, again, you bet. My pleasure. BlueGreenAlliance.org. Let's take a break, and we're open lines on the other side.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Got some heavy traffic out there in the lodge, southbound between McNichols and the Davison. 96 eastbound between Milford and Beck Road. You're going to find some slowdowns there as well. I'm Ross with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, mostly sunny, a high near 55. Tonight, mostly cloudy, some scattered showers roll through, a low around 36. Then tomorrow, the sun's right back out, a high in the mid-40s. Right now, it's fair and 41 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift going up after this.
To the relief of most Texans, our prodigal governor hath returned. Most presidential pretenders envision a come-from-behind campaign ending in glory. But Rick Perry ran a vainglorious campaign that went in the other direction, ending in oops. What happened to poor Perry was, well, Perry. His brain bone simply does not connect to his tongue muscle. So he fumbled, bumbled, and stumbled through the Republican debates, showing the entire nation that he was not presidential sapling, much less timber. Rick was richly financed by corporate interests, burning through more than $21 million on his political joyride. But he finished a sputtering fifth in Iowa and New Hampshire and was about to be lapped by other in South Carolina before mercifully ending his sad run. Worse, polls showed that he had fallen to third place in his home state. So, he's back. But not to any cheers. The general feeling here is that he embarrassed himself and made Texans look like a bunch of ignorant hillbillies. In a new poll, 45% of Texans say he soiled the state's national image, and 56% don't even want him to run for governor again. Also, Texans are a bit chapped about Perry's prodigality with our money. While he was running around denouncing government spending and berating people who live on government payrolls, Rick kept drawing his $150,000 a year state paycheck, even though he wasn't doing state work. He was also double-dipping, using a special loophole to take $92,000 a year in state retirement pay, while also collecting his gubernatorial salary. Then there's some $2.6 million billed to us to cover the cost of the state security detail that traipsed along with him on the campaign trail. This is Jim Hightower saying, Rick Perry will always be branded nationally as the Oops Guy. But here in Texas, he's called Rick Ouch Perry.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift,
Tom Fitzpatrick joins us now.
And dads, you know, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, they were pushed to the side. They were marginalized. They were judged as, uncaring and incompetent. And they felt unappreciated and not respected and not valued. You know, that's the Homer Simpson syndrome. And at the same time, I've never met a man, Tony, who didn't love his kids passionately and were longing for more connection and really wanting to give the unique gifts that they have to parenting.
First Shift with Tony Trivano on 1310 WDTW.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
All right, so I'm gonna read this thing called A Day in the Life of Joe Republican. Many of you have heard it before. Some of you will roll your eyes. That's okay. It's a simple, just a simple reflection. Let me just read it, and then we'll talk. Joe gets up at 6 a.m. and fills his coffee pot with water to prepare his morning coffee. The water is clean and good because some tree-hugging liberal fought for minimal water quality standards. With his first swallow of water, he takes his daily medication. His medications are safe to take because some stupid commie liberal fought to ensure that safety and that they work as advertised is true. All but $10 of his medication are paid for by his employer's medical plan because some liberal union workers fought their employees for paid medical insurance. Now Joe gets it too. He prepares his morning breakfast, bacon and eggs. Joe's bacon is safe to eat because some girly man, liberal, fought for laws to regulate the meat packing industry. In the morning shower, Joe reaches for his shampoo. His bottle is properly labeled with each ingredient and its amount in the total contents because some crybaby liberal fought for the right to know what he was putting on his body and how much it contained. Joe dresses, walks outside, and takes a deep breath. The air he breathes is clean because some environmentalist wacko liberal fought for the laws to stop industries from polluting our air. He walks on the government-provided sidewalk to a subway station for his government-subsidized ride to work. It saves him considerable money in parking and transportation fees because some fancy-pants liberal fought for affordable public transportation, which gives everybody the opportunity to be a contributor. Ah, imagine that. Joe begins his work day. He has a good job with excellent pay, medical benefits, retirement, paid holidays, and vacation because some lazy liberal union member fought and dies for these working standards. Joe's employer pays these standards because Joe's employer doesn't want his employee to call the union. If Joe is hurt on the job or becomes unemployed, he'll get a worker compensation or unemployment check because some stupid liberal didn't think he should lose his home because of the temporary misfortune. It is noontime, and Joe needs to make a bank deposit so he can pay some bills. Joe's deposit is federally insured by the FSLIC because Some godless liberal wanted to protect Joe's money from unscrupulous bankers who ruined the banking system before the Great Depression. Joe has to pay his Fannie Mae underwritten mortgage and his below-market federal student loan because some elitist liberal decided that Joe and the government would be better off if he was educated and earned more money over his lifetime. Joe also forgets that his, in addition to his federally subsidized student loans, he attended a state-funded university. Joe is home from work at this point, and he plans to visit his father this evening in his farmhouse in the country. He gets in the car for the drive. His car is among the safest in the world because some American-hating liberal fought for car safety standards that go along with along with the taxpayer-funded roads. He arrives at his boyhood home. He was the third generation to live in that house, financed by Farmers Home Administration, because bankers didn't want to make rural loans. The house didn't have electricity until some big government liberal stuck his nose where it didn't belong and demanded rural electrification. He is so happy to see his father, who is now retired. His father lives on Social Security and a union pension because some wine-drinking, cheese-eating liberal made sure he could take care of himself so Joe wouldn't have to. Joe gets back in his car for the ride home after a nice visit and turns on the radio talk show. The radio show host keeps telling that liberals are bad and conservatives are good. He doesn't mention that the beloved Republicans have fought against every protection and benefit Joe enjoys throughout the day. Joe agrees, we don't need those big government liberals running our lives. After all, I'm a self-made man who believes everyone should take care of themselves just like I have. Oh, just a thought. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is a day in the life of Joe Liberal. If you'd like a copy of this, feel free to send me an email, and I'll get that to you, tony@thetonyshow.org. We often forget how good we have it and how we, and more importantly, how we got there. I think that for so many of us, this idea that history doesn't matter because we act as if it doesn't, and it clearly does. For without history, we have no future. Yep, that's true. Looking at the Facebook page, Chris Savage from Eclecta Blog has just posted, well, he posted a little while ago, about an hour ago. It's titled, Indiana Senate Decisively Passes Emergency Manager Bill. In Indiana, they are doing everything they can to subvert democracy. And now they are put into place an emergency manager bill. Now, it's not an exact duplication of the Michigan bill, but it's close enough for us to be concerned about what's happening in Indiana. You'll recall I had Greg Harris on from the Indiana State AFL-CIO last week, concerned very much so and legitimately so about right to work in the state of Indiana. We need to continue to fight for our democracy here in the state of Michigan. And if you won't stand up for that democracy, no one does. You know, folks, do you realize, are you aware, are you clearly aware that Republicans don't show up to protest anything? They don't have to. In a Republican mindset, it's not about doing more, it's about doing less. So if you're a Republican and you elect the right people who have the money to power, they pass the laws that you want. You following me? And then you don't need to show up to protest anything because they're doing what you want to do, what you want them to do. And because, as we clearly showed with Sarah Dufendock earlier in the show today, when money rules in politics, money wins. The wealthiest, therefore, are heard. The rest of us are not. The 99%, the 1%. You keep doing this and you'll figure out where I'm going. So do nothing and see what happens. 888-552-3595 if you care to join us this morning. My old pal, Lee in Pontiac's on the other end of my line. Lee, it's a pleasure to have you on the show this morning.
Hi, Tony. How you doing?
I'm good.
Really glad you played the Day in the Life of Joe the Republican.
Well, thank you. You know, it's been a long time since I read that, and my buddy Dennis had sent it to me, so I thought, you know what, let me read that this morning.
That needs to be heard all the time, every place. And I didn't get how you said that you could get a copy of it.
Just send me an email, and I'll send you a copy.
An email at
Tony. That's fine. Tony at thetonyshow.org. Tony at thetonyshow.org. And I'll forward you a copy of that. I'd be happy to do
it. Okay. That has got to be somewhere or another that other news media have to get that stuff out, because I don't think a lot of people have heard that, and they may not even understand.
Well, you know, it's so simple. I mean, that's what I love about that, Lee, is it's so simple. There's nothing complicated about what we're trying to do here. What we're trying to do here is just remind people what this world would look like if Republicans had their way.
Oh.
Yeah, I hear you. You know, we didn't even get into, you know, the overtime and, you know, the 40-hour work week and so many of the things that, you know, crazy liberal union people do for you.
Maybe you could play this maybe once a week or something like that so nobody misses it, and I'm going to get copies of it made and pass them around.
No, you know what, I really can't do it once a week, because that I think would probably beat it up a little bit too much, but maybe once a month, Lee. And for those of you, and thank you for your call, for those of you that are sending me emails wanting a copy of that, I will, about A Day in the Life of Joe the Republican, I will send them after I'm off the air, so you're going to get them later on this morning, but I will get them off to you today. I promise you'll get it today. Just give me time to get back to my office and, you know, just get set up. And had you heard that before, Jeff?
No,
you had not? It's fairly popular. I mean, it's been around in different forms for a lot of years.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe a different form. I haven't heard it exactly that way, but it makes good sense.
I'm telling you, my email, my iPod, or my iPad is ringing up emails. Send me a copy, send me a copy, send me a copy. So, happy to do it. As soon as we get off the air, as soon as I get back to my office, but I'm so glad that people are resonating with that message. Because, Jeff, you know, again, it's just a simple reminder of what Democrats and union people have done for this country. You know what? You couldn't give me a similar list if we were to do one, the day in the life of John the Democrat. You would not be able to put a similar list together. Just, it would not happen.
Well, you could put a list together.
Well, okay.
It'd be very
not with the same message. How's that?
Yeah, it'd be Joe the liberal doesn't realize that corporations, you know, put money before people. It's like, what? Wait a minute. That doesn't send the same message at all.
All right, we haven't let Sarah Palin say anything on this show in a long time. It's been a very long time. Remember, we actually got criticized for doing Palin stuff, but we've got a couple clips that after the break I want to get to, so I'm giving you a little warning. I don't know if I'm giving you the warning, Jeff, or the audience the warning, but Sarah Palin, who aren't you, I mean, I am, especially now that the way things have worked out, aren't you so glad, Jeff, she didn't get into this? Aren't you glad that she didn't get into this?
She's making more of a dent by not getting it. She gets on TV a lot more.
Well, I mean, she's got her Fox gig. I mean, that's she's getting that. But outside of that, she's been fairly quiet. At least nobody's really talking much about her. But we'll hear what she has to say on the other side. If you'd like to join us, feel free to do that. 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org. And again, I'm happy to send out A Day in the Life of Joe the Republican. Just send me an email, and I'll get that out to you once I get settled back in the office. And hoping Anthony's feeling better when I get back, too. He's off today, for those of you that weren't with us earlier. A quick break here. We'll wrap it up on the other side.
First Shift with Tony Trujillo.
I want the top wealthiest Americans to be taxed higher and that money to go to education.
I want true democracy for the 99% of us who don't have it anymore.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org.
www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me, State Senator Bert Johnson.
How we want to do this is very simple. The state of Michigan taxpayers give away every year $35 billion, with a B, dollars to corporations in tax breaks and tax credits. We want to take a look from an accountability standpoint at every single one of those dollars. One of the biggest things the governor said last year was that he wanted to manage and look at and be accountable to every citizen for all of these tax credits. We know that there are many loopholes that can be closed. We want to take a mere 10% of those dollars back. That would be $3.5 billion. That would be enough, Tony, to cover the bill to send every high school grad, I don't care if you went to private or public or homeschool, if you graduated, we want to send every high school grad to college with a full $9,500 grant that would be enough to cover every dollar of tuition at any of our 15 public universities and our junior colleges.
First Shift with Tony Tria on 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595. First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
10 minutes before the top of the hour, as we speak, the Detroit City Council is trying to decide what cuts to make. If you see the news of the Free Press, you're going to see it's front page news. This is drastic. This is big. I happen to have a connection to someone that I'm hoping to get on the air yet this week who's involved with one of the Detroit unions that's been very, very wrapped up in these negotiations. What's going on? Let's get you a quick update from Channel 7. City Council has a lot to do, and they're scrambling to get it done. Here's what I have for you.
They'll be right back here tomorrow trying to find another $40 million to cut. And while they will certainly need some rest to tackle that task, it might be a sleepless night after some of those proposed cuts from today. There was no rock left unturned when it came to finding savings in Detroit's budget. City Council members met for more than 3.5 hours Monday afternoon, and even then, their work was incomplete.
They're selling the city of Detroit's cemeteries. Some other things that we're looking at, too, is ending vehicle leases.
That's just the beginning. The city council is now scrambling to offer a comprehensive plan to cut $102 million out of the budget. And at the end of the day, so far only $60 million in savings had been agreed upon.
Okay, now, going further, what might these cuts mean? And that, of course, is very important.
If we don't fund it, then how will it exist?
Under the proposed cuts, all of the city's recreation centers would go dark, salvaging about $19 million. And there's the possibility of privatizing services, including EMS.
It's always a controversial issue, but the reality is I think it's something that we have to take a real serious look at. I'm privatizing DDOT, possibly privatizing other services.
Council members would reduce their salary budget by 21%. They also want to slice the incomes of workers earning more than $100,000 by 15%. These last-minute cuts are in addition to the 2,300 layoffs council members have already pushed for. All of this to avoid the possibility of a state takeover with the emergency manager. The question is, at what cost?
All right, and at what cost and at what deadline? The deadline, by the way, is, I believe, the end of February. Let's wrap it up with this.
Bottom line is, we run out of time, we got to cut somewhere. And if you don't cut it there, then what are you going to cut?
And the mayor has also submitted his own proposal, but council members have said that doesn't go far enough. Now, technically, they do need his approval to get these recommendations approved and finalized. But here's the thing. Some members say that they will send their recommendations to Lansing if that becomes necessary. Now, of course, this all is to make a rush and to get this done before Governor Snyder's deadline for next week to see significant reforms. From downtown Detroit, Speed McCloakey, 7 Action News.
All right, so there we go. And today is going to be a huge day. If you're, you know, you're watching the news or near a computer, you're going to want to keep hitting that refresh button because I believe that this is going to be making news all day long and certainly throughout the week. Huge changes. The unions are involved, but these are massive, massive changes. And again, this is going to be changing on a daily basis or on an hourly basis, if not even more often. So pay attention to what's going on today. All right. Sarah Palin, of course, we're not a fan of her. We don't play her a lot on the show. I get tired of it. Most of you have tired of her. But recently she's been talking a little bit about what's happening in the GOP. This is what she had to say on the debates, whether or not they need to continue.
You know, we find out who that person is. We measure the man through competition. This competitive process I would like to see continue because the more candidate information revealed, the more ideas debated, the fairer it is for the electorate. And we know that competition, it will breed success for the United States of America. Competition, it doesn't just shape character, it reveals it.
All right, and she goes on. Just listening to her talk makes me chuckle. Then she goes on and says and declares the GOP needs, well, I'll let her say it.
We need a big dog who will bite when they rattle our cage. And they, when I speak of they domestically, I'm talking about government big spenders who can't balance a budget because they've never done it before, who would lock up our resources, who would continue to amass debt, who can't argue against the guts of Obamacare and other liberties being stripped from our choices in a free market. And ultimately, we being slaves to government and to other countries, we need a big dog who's passionate about not embracing the status quo, but shaking that all up.
Well, good. Go out, get yourself a dog there, former governor. Quitter, the quitter in chief, Sarah Palin. All right, let's go to the phones. Mark in Birmingham, thanks for calling us this morning. What's on your mind?
Yeah, you know, just commenting on that rant you read about how great government does with paving the roads and everything. I mean, you assume that the majority of what the government does, private individuals or the private sector can't do. That's why the Detroit City Council, that's why Obama refuses to reduce the amount of spending. That's why our debt will end up like Greece. I mean, that's like in the Middle Ages when everyone assumed only the church could run everything. Now,
yeah, Mark, what do you make of it? I mean, the president's led the discussion and in the negotiations on reducing our debt by $2 trillion, why do you conveniently ignore that?
Because $2 trillion is a drop in the bucket.
But it's a start. But it's a start. He is serious.
No, he's not. He would make he uses what he calls the obstructionists of the Republicans to detract from his refusal to do anything. He doesn't put anything in writing. He throws it out rhetorically like his State of the Union speech and says, you do it. No president has ever given the Congress that much leeway.
No Congress has ever done so little to help a president. So that door, Mark, swings both freaking ways. You know what? Your indignation's BS is just, I've had enough. I'm done with you, Mark. I'm done. You don't get it. You just don't get it. It's all about what he's not doing. You don't listen. Is this president perfect? Absolutely not. But to listen to you talk, the Republicans can do no wrong. It's all the president. It's not the Republicans. They are obstructionist, Mark. I don't know what your definition of it is. But it's pretty clear to me. Very quickly, we'll wind up with Stephen Monroe. Stephen, good to hear from you, buddy. How are you?
Good, Tony. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Tony, I just to make a point. You know, Democrats pretty much run the show in Detroit for 50-some years, and look at what we've got. It's a city in collapse.
It's a bad leadership. Steve, it's bad leadership. It's mismanagement. It's a lot of things. It's stealing money. Listen, Detroit's a nightmare. I'm ashamed of the city of Detroit.
We're on the same page, Tony.
I'm absolutely ashamed.
It worked out that way.
Yeah. You know, I don't even know that the letter after these people's names matter, a D or an R in Detroit. I think it was whoever could get to the money the quickest got it and ran away with it. And now they're paying for it. It's a sin. All right, Jeff, thank you so much for your hard work today, bud. Anthony, I hope you feel better. I love you, son. You guys are a great audience. Again, keep sending your emails, tony@thetonyshow.org. I'll get you Joe the Republican out to you a little bit later on this morning. And as always, I ask that you be well.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're looking at some slowdowns on southbound 35 between 12 Mile and the Davison. M14 westbound between Gonfreton and US 23. Going to find some slowdowns there, too. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast of the National Weather Service today, mostly sunny, a high in the mid-50s. Tonight, scattered showers, mostly cloudy. Otherwise, a low around 36. Then tomorrow, sun comes out again, a high in the mid-40s. Right now, it's fair and 41 degrees at Detroit City Airport.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Sound off on our Facebook page, facebook.com/1310WDTWAM.
Identify yourself, please.
This is Detroit's Progressive.